If Lands Could Kill, featuring Knife City, A Quickness, Bright, and Hot Sauce.
All right, welcome one and all to If Lands Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
I'm A Quickness.
This is Reich.
Hot and the Sauce.
Hot Soup.
Hot Soup.
Hot Soup. We changed his name to Hot Soup.
Coming through. In honor of the new card and coming up in M15 called Hot Soup. His new nickname is now Hot Soup.
Hot Sauce is actually getting the card art tattooed on his back.
No, really.
Like a big Steve-O.
Yeah, with the thumbs. Yeah, put those sayings across their chest. It's going to be the flavor test. Yeah. Coming through.
Is that what it is?
Oh, man. Coming through.
No, that's going to be like your tramp stamp. Coming through. Hot stuff, coming through. So anyways, this is one of the episodes. This episode, is this 10?
I think it's 10.
Oh! Shit,
double digits.
You hear that? No, I got the parade coming in a little bit. Fucking man on stilts and elephants and all kinds of shit.
Dude, I love
the rap announcer, like, you know, and all their songs. They have the DJ come through. Fucking, and next we have blah, 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 blah. Fucking.
Anyway. Like a strip club?
Right over
yeah,
there.
Like a strip club.
Yeah, there you go.
And next on the stage is Cherry Blossom.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
What's up, sugar on me? So what's been going on this week with you guys? What's up, Mike?
Oh, man. I've been crazy busy between work and then planning this vow renewal ceremony that we're having next in like 2 months from now, and so. But I've been itching to get back in some magic with some of the M15 stuff's been spoiled. I'm just kind of getting hot and bothered by that Elvish Mystic reprint that I saw. So we'll test on that a little bit later.
Yeah, but some commons.
Yeah. But
you're leaving your new squeeze for your old squeeze.
I know, right?
Golden Hind just going out.
Golden Hind can just take a back seat to Elvish Mystic. Like, you know, I gotta get my number one man.
Double the power.
My sugar daddy.
literally double
the power. I don't know though. He's kind of mystic. Something about him. It's like good that. Ones. What they call the dark stranger.
What is that?
I have no idea.
I got stuff up here. I don't even want to say it.
I got no idea.
Yeah.
I just think of the stranger when you sit on your hand.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
And the dark one, I mean, gotta get a black man's hand. Yeah. And then he has to be a stranger also.
Oh, yeah. Come
on, like, hey, sir, would you accept
coming over to my house? Quick.
Yeah, let me sit on your hand.
And no, he sits on his own hand.
Sits on his own hand.
That makes all the difference.
If he sits on his own hand.
If it's dumb, it's not gay. Oh, but yeah, anyways, yeah, I've just been up to that and I've been wanting to get on Magic Online to do a vintage draft, but it's expensive as all hell, so I probably won't do
like
that.
Like seven tickets a pack or something?
Yeah, I think the sealed's like fucking $45 or something like that to do a sealed draft. So
I did see, I was watching Darkest Mage stream it today, and he pulled a Scrubland and a Tundra.
Oh, wow.
That's like a sealed event.
Some good money.
Dude, that guy is like the opposite of funny.
No, he is like the anti-funny.
I'm watching him and I'm like, yeah, you know what you're doing, but like, I don't fucking want to watch you. I've actually tried to watch him like 5 times now.
Yeah.
And every time I'm like, come on, man. I think, bro.
It takes a certain kind of just
personality. Well, when he's using terminology like silly goose all the time, like...
Like silly goose, like in a serious way?
Yeah.
Not like in a sarcastic...
Really, he can't be really funny. But his main thing is like... He wants to keep it, like, G, so, like, anybody can watch it.
It's like,
you know,
Disney.
Parents can turn it on and watch it with their kids running around
Fair
the
enough.
Kitchen,
but...
yeah.
It's a very small bone to pick with him, really. I mean, he's doing... I'm sure he's doing fine. Everything's... Yeah, he's nothing offensive to me, really, you know? It's just, I want him to be...
Well, but on the dry side...
He's super dry, but he's also...
really well with our podcast.
No, I don't think he's our compatible
We've brought
type.
It before where he just, like... If someone says something that's like not correct, someone trying to suggest to him, he'd be like, "No, that's stupid," or he won't say it's stupid. He's like, "That just won't work," and that's just the end of it. Like he'll just kind of be like, "It won't work because of that," and I'll just go on to the next thing. And nothing, he doesn't entertain any idea at all. Like, he just knows. He's just reading out the dictionary. He's like,
there ain't no funny business.
He just
about.
Goes like, it doesn't say that. Nope, doesn't say that. Yeah. Sorry, no.
Close the book.
Yeah, that's it. It's so easy for him to just be like, no, I can't.
But yeah, I've been getting over a cold too. So if I start coughing on the podcast, it's my bad. But that's about it for me. What have you been up to, Quickness?
Not much. Just I've been hanging out with somebody I met recently through my buddy Jake. And he used to play Magic back in the day. So I've been going over there a couple days a week.
Ooh, Magic
playing,
Gate.
Been playing some Magic. Been teaching them, getting them back into it. So
get more people into it.
Been doing that, yeah. Just more people to play, the better, I think.
Perfect. What about inviting them over here one of these days? Or not here, but, you know, with us?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, we'll see. He's kind of he's a character. I'll just play like that. Like, he's...
He might be a lot to handle.
I don't think everybody can handle him. He's a good guy. I won't put that past him. He's a really good guy, but not, I don't think it's he's everybody's personality is everybody's cup of tea.
Gotcha.
So, I like kicking with him. He's cool. We play league together as well. So, but other than that, I just been screwing, like, looking up all the new cards coming out, just trying to go back through all Theros block, seeing, like, I'm trying to speculate what could be good, like, you know, trying to get a head start, since I wasn't really knowledgeable enough, I guess I could say, when Theros block came out to try to do that, because I just had no idea. Some cards I thought were like, oh, nobody will play that, and then everybody plays it. So I'm trying to get a leg up on the competition and try to get a head start on that.
Yeah,
so.
That's tough, though, like trying to get those. Like, the only card that I really hit good on was the Desecration Demons.
Yeah.
And that was just, like, luck.
Well, I've been watching the most recent pro tour that was block constructed, just going over there, just watching the matches, just seeing how things play out, just be like, okay, well, you know, this is obviously good against this card, but what else can it do, you know, and just trying to put other cards around it to see what can happen, and, you know, just geeking out like that.
You guys notice that Courser went up from like $350 to like
$12.
Yeah. I mean, I want to say $350 as in, like, that's the low of what he ever was.
Yeah.
But he was normally going around
$7.
And
the high was like $17, I think.
Yeah. So it's just ridiculous. That's a dramatic, dramatic change. I understand. I mean, people play four of you play green, you play four of him, you play four of Caryatid. I get it, but it's a pretty hefty price for a.
Yeah.
I have a confession to make. I only own three Caryatids. I don't have a full play set of Caryatids.
Oh, man.
I know. I only wrote three.
Come here, brother.
I also
have three Caryatids. And I, too, only have three Coursers.
Oh, well, I have four Coursers.
I'm a super three of player, though.
Yeah.
I play three of anything, unless it's like I'll play four of like the best two cards in my deck, and everything else is three. I'm weird like that, for sure. But
I only have two Caryatids. Because I actually gave you mine because I owed you for the Desecration Demons.
Right.
I still owe you, but I mean, I don't have any Caryatids.
Don't be embarrassed, man. We're all Magic players.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's okay.
I'll just leave the room now. I have four of each.
Step out. It's like, this is not my.
This is a three of like help
the wrong
group.
Party. Yeah.
I only have one of the Coursers.
Yeah, those are good guys though.
We pulled that in our most recent block draft.
Yeah, in our block draft.
Hey, remember when you guys traded me Coursers for other things?
Yeah, I was like, I gave Jason Carl. I'm like, I'm probably not going to need this.
Too. I have three, and I think I only had one, so.
I definitely traded some shit cards for
The ultimate one, though, is actually on Justin. Is when
no,
I traded.
No, we're not talking about
that. What was it?
It was.
No,
it was,
we're not talking about
that. No,
I
have to say it. It's,
nope.
If cat's out of the bag, we got to know now. The world has to know.
Wait till
right,
the end. Make it to
my
end
last
of the
day for the podcast. I'm not playing Magic.
Yeah, I know. You know what? I'm not going to say it because you're right. It is like pretty bad.
What?
So
I don't even know.
It's for the conclusion.
Let's just say this: I traded a card that is now worth nothing.
Yeah.
For a card that now is Univault.
Well, you just gave it away.
No, but okay. I didn't tell you the bad, the nothing card, though. That's the embarrassing card. The Mutavault part's the embarrassing
card. Okay, well, just tell the nothing card.
No, because it's not
that. That's like
the initials are DI. I'm just leaving it at that. I traded a card with the initials that are DI.
You don't have to say it.
We'll work this out later.
It's just a bad card. It read well, and it was Mythic Rare. But it ended up not getting played.
I've got to go look this up afterwards.
That's like, I mean, that's not that bad. I traded away, like, remember when Theros, or what was it? It was back in the gate crash time, or like when what the fuck is the gate crash and then Dragon's Maze came out. I traded some guy two Advent. I traded for two Advent Worms. Or whatever the fuck in the flash in, the spell, Advent Worms, for two Steam Vents. Because they were like, when Advent Worm first came out, it was like a $6 card or something like that.
Yeah.
When, like, before anyone knew it was just completely unplayable in that format. And I was like, oh, Steam Vents, I'm never going to need these. This is fucking lands. What am I going to do with these? I'm like, I'm never playing these colors. Oh, little did I know.
That's
it. I wish I had those now.
I don't know. So, mine's pretty bad. I traded Hot Sauce, the Courser, for a foil guild, and it was like some other like crap card.
Yeah,
it was like some throw-in crap card. But I was like, oh, that foil guild, man, it's awesome.
I looked through all the lists, like that. What is it? The collection list that's on TCG Player.
Yeah.
And honestly, all my shit is like so cheap now. The shit is just like everything that was like 10 is now fucking 3.
Like all the gods.
So it's like
you
can't
down.
Even sell it really. You're gonna get like a dollar for it. Who gives a shit?
Yeah,
why?
Well, hang on.
It's not worth my time. Freaking sell for a dollar. Because I sell 100 of them.
Yeah.
Well, so. It's like it's not so bad because a lot of the cards that we buy, like when they're new, a lot of cards we play. So it's not like, oh, I'm just buying it just to spec on it. Like, I would never do that. Like, right when a set comes out, like, oh, just buy it because I know it's going to be $1 million.
Yeah.
Because then a lot of times, like, 9 out of 10 times you're going to get burned. Like, you might get that one set where you make money on it, or, you know, you actually get that Thundermaw Hellkite before anyone knows about it. But it's very rare.
I was lucky enough to jump on the Courser bandwagon before it shot up. Luckily.
Yeah, luckily I got mine at $5 a piece.
Ooh. Yeah.
All right, how about this? Athreos, I bought it at, like, $18, and now it's 11.
Yeah.
Because I wanted it, and I knew it was going to go down, but I kind of didn't know it was going to go down. And then Mana Confluence I bought at 14, and now it's down to, like, 10.
Well, that'll stay. I think that's going to be $10 for the life of the standard.
Yeah, I think that's its floor.
Dude, Garrick is, or whatever you want to call him, Garrick is fucking $7 right now. And that shit, when I pulled it, was, like, worth 20.
Yeah.
Caller of the Beast?
Yeah, Caller of the Beast.
Oh, I might have to pick some of those up.
There's all kinds of shit that I'm like, wow, this stuff. Oh, how about this? Here's my worst one. Blood Baron at its peak.
Ooh.
Ouch.
Bought it at, like $14.50 or something like that, or $14, and now it's, like...
Well, he's still a good card.
$4.50.
He's still a really good card, but he's going down because it's rotating out. But he's still a fucking bad
He's only a player just because of Mono Black. Or the Mono Black Devotion variants. That's the only reason why. I think if you didn't have the Mono Black, it pretty much wouldn't be there.
And
what are we talking about, though?
Action. I think we're
going to
go...
Mono Black.
We're talking about the Mono Black.
I think we should probably still finish off our...
I kind of like to talk about... Like,
just our horrible...
Yeah.
Our horrible
decisions.
Yeah.
Our horrible choices as younger Magic players.
Well, not even... Okay, so I got one from not that long ago. I bought into Pelucranos and Stormbreath Dragon, like, right before they started going down. So it was, like, a month or two, like, 2 months ago, probably.
Yeah. You bought in at, what, like, $15, $17?
The Dragons were, like, $15, and Pelucranos was...
It was below 10 at that time.
Yeah, it was 8
or
something.
It was probably around 7. I think $7, $8, like, the peak is when it hit.
But now Pelucranos is, like...
It's, like, 5.
5. Stormbreath is, like, 13 or something.
Yeah. That's all right.
It's, like...
Yeah.
It's not a horrible loss, but it's, like, I wanted to make sure I got in before, like...
In case it shot up again for next season.
Yeah.
It happens, though.
Well, I figured...
It happened, you know?
I figured a lot of the... or I figured a lot of the... You know, a lot of cards are going to rotate out, and then so more pressure is going to be put on those cards to perform well. So I figured everyone was going to start buying them up. So I was like, I want to get them before they shoot up, and then like right after, boom.
Yeah, well, they might still go up. Yeah, yeah, Stormbreath is always a player.
Oh, I think
he's going to be.
I think Stormbreath is going to go up because the whole next set is about dragons. So, well, you know, not in 15, but after that.
The Khans of Tahkir.
Yeah,
they'll probably be like Dragons of Tahkir or whatever.
Yeah, it's going to be
probably one of
those. You'll have to watch out for that. Supposedly, this plane, when we go to the plane, all the dragons are gone.
Hmm.
At the start of it.
So maybe they're all dead.
And then they zombie dragons.
Oh, zombie dragons! Everybody loves
zombie human dragons. Zombie dragons.
That's actually the title of my new single, Zombie Dragons.
Zombie dragons. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I bought it on Stormbeth at like $25 a piece when they first came out.
But that's what you know.
But that was like my deck. Like I played that.
Yeah. You got your money's worth.
Yeah, I'm like I drop like what like $80-$100 on these cards. I'm like, yeah, it doesn't matter because I play them still. They're like houses.
Yeah.
I'm never disappointed to see a Stormbreath dragon in my hand. Never.
Unless you have green mana.
Yeah. Like, oh, what are these forests doing here?
Exactly. You know, so he keeps his hand. He has three dragons and then one mountain and one fucking, and two, you know, forests or whatever. He's like, we'll get there.
Oh, you always got to live on a dream.
Yeah.
You always keep the hope.
What, you don't live in magical Christmas land?
Fantastic.
I guess let's finish out what we've been up to. We got distracted by sweet misfortunes of magic. Pretty much all I've been doing is playing Watch Dogs. I have been sucked into that game. I think last podcast I had only played like 20 minutes of it, and I was still kind of getting used to it. And I just beat it yesterday or the day before.
Sweet.
And it is one of the best console games I've played in a very long time.
Just say it's the best one.
I wouldn't say it's the best one because it's hard to judge because at a certain time in a certain period when like Super Nintendo was out, like when a game came out for its time, like it was like super awesome. And then you have to kind of parallel that to when this game came out during its time, so you kind of have to.
It's kind of hard to go back.
So what you're saying is, Pong, the greatest game ever.
Yeah. You have to compete with nostalgia. I mean, like when you say, "Oh, this is the best console game ever," it's like it's kind of hard when you're like comparing it to like Zelda, Mario, all those things you like grew up with, and you have like fond memories of.
And, you know, nostalgia is like real personal. Where, like, maybe I would be a huge fan of Mega Man, but I actually didn't even play, say, like Mario or something. I did. Yeah. Or say like better example, I didn't play like a lot of like Street Fighter.
Yeah.
You know, where that was like a huge fucking game. And I played it a little bit arcade style, but I never was a person that like when I got in the arcade, I would just go to Street Fighter and play it for an hour.
Yeah.
It would be like a 10-minute thing or less. But I would play like super off-road all day long.
So I try and when I tell people about a game, when I tell people about past games, like I try and keep the nostalgia factor out of it, like when I'm giving the game a grade or whatever. But it's kind of like with like the Game Informer magazine. Like, okay, so here's the example. When Tony Hawk 2 came out, it was like the first game to ever get like a perfect 10. Because I don't know if you guys remember, but like Tony Hawk 2, like 1 was good, but like 2, like took it to the next level. It was still fucking awesome.
Picking up pieces of my brain.
Yeah.
That game.
And so it's kind of like that where you have to base the games coming out now on the same scale, you know? So games nowadays, like, you know, I don't know what they gave Watch Dogs, but Watch Dogs was probably like a 9 or something like that. So you know what I mean? Like, you have to base it on the same scale and not, like, look back like, oh, well, this has a million more processing power, so of course this game's going to be better. Like, okay, so they gave Need for Speed, the newest one, they gave it, like, a 9.2. Or 9.25. I'm like, they are getting kind of, like, throwing these grades out there kind of willy-nilly.
Liberal with their score,
Not to say that it's, like, you know, I don't know if it's a bad game or not, but, like, you can't just be giving
out. You could say it's a bad game. It's fine.
Yeah, it's probably
Need for Speed is ridiculous.
We just lost the two developers that were listening for Need for Speed that were listening to podcasts.
Yeah, it's like Madden. Like, okay, Madden 2015, that's not going to be a mind-breaking game, you know? So anyways, Watch Dogs, it's fucking awesome.
Would you recommend it?
I'd recommend it to everybody. It has one of the best.
What if I have no thumbs?
If you have no thumbs, fucking get some prosthetics, my friend. Or start
getting on the PC.
Pecking with your nose. There you go. But it has one of the best, like, online, like, PvP multiplayer aspects to it where you're just playing your normal single-player campaign. And let's say you're, like, in between missions. You know, you're just traveling to the mission or you're doing some little side mission or whatever. And all of a sudden, it says you're being hacked. So, essentially, another person, you know, online came into your game without you knowing it. And now they're hacking you. And you have to find them before, like, they finish hacking you from like 1% to 100%.
What happens?
You just get like basically like multiplayer points. Mm. And the more multiplayer points you get, the more unlocks you get and stuff like that.
You die.
Well, when they're hacking you, do they take anything away from you?
Like currency? Points, whatever.
You don't lose anything from losing the PvP thing, do you? Or do they?
Well, you get... Okay, so there's like lifetime of the PvP point. It's called notoriety. So there's like a lifetime rating. Mm-hmm. And so just like your rating in the world is affected. Like, you don't get actual points.
So it's just rating.
Yeah, it's just rating. You don't, like, a guy didn't come into your house and, like, slap you in the face.
Like, yeah, you didn't do anything.
Say, like, you wouldn't have, like, 100,000 credits and you get hacked, they wouldn't take, like, half of it or something.
No. But there is, like, a real sense of pride because it's, like, it's you. They're coming into your single-player campaign.
This is my house. We must protect this house. Yeah. We must protect this house. Yeah.
But it's just really cool because there are all sorts of places to hide and, like... So basically the game, you're a hacker, and so they could be like anywhere. They could just be like standing in a crowd and like pretending to talk to people, and you have to like focus on everybody's face to like hack them or identify them. So you have to go around and like look at everybody's faces and try and they'll pop up like, oh, this is the intruder or whatever. So you're like going around like looking people on benches.
Shoot
or like
the head.
You can like, yeah, oh yeah, you gotta kill them. Of course, you gotta kill them. But they could be like hiding in cars or like, it's just, it's something that hasn't really been done before.
That's cool.
So I highly recommend it. And
I saw one dude, he got into a car. And he just pretended like he was one of the AI, and he's driving around the block just all the time. He's kind of driving around,
just going in a circle. Like this AI is really dumb. He's
waiting at like the stoplights.
Yeah,
he's waiting while it turned green. Just hanging out there, arranging the radio station, whatever.
That's pretty funny.
Fucking badass.
Yeah,
I love playing like open world games in that way.
Yeah,
where you like almost want to follow the rules.
Yeah,
where, like I feel bad. I don't feel bad, but you know what I mean. Yeah, like I want to avoid just driving on sidewalks and just being a maniac. I'm like, screw it. Let me just see how I can do it if I can actually like obey the rules of the road more or less.
Yeah, life
is kind of pass when I can, not just like blast through the middle of two cars or whatever else. It's just like hilarious that way. I don't know why.
Game actually rewards you for like not mowing down people. You know, like in Grand Theft Auto. Like, it's Grand Theft Auto, you can kind of, like, get away with shit, you know? Yeah. Like, unrealistic stuff.
If you kill,
stuff.
Like, 10 people, then you're going to get caught.
I've seen the cops in that game, man. They just don't give a shit. Just run on the sidewalk. Oh, pedestrians. Oh, I'm chasing this guy. Yeah.
So, like, if you kill pedestrians or injure pedestrians, like, your status goes down or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So, like, you're, like, the vigilante in the town.
I want Paragon, damn it.
Yeah.
And so... When you get like to below a certain like point, they label you like an anarchist or whatever. And so like you'll be going to like a pawn shop or something, wanting to buy something. Like I went to a pawn shop and my like rating or my status is really low. And so like the guy was like, "Hey, how's it going?" And then like on the TV in the background was like, "Watch out for this man, he's dangerous." And the guy was like smiling at me, and you see his hand like slowly moving for the alarm.
That's
and he
so
like
sick.
Does the alarm button and like runs out the back, and I'm like, "Why the fuck did he do it?" And I was like, "Oh, my fucking status is I'm a fucking
right, that's
maniac."
Pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
It's just like little stuff like that, and also like, you know, Grand Theft Auto when you're driving on the sidewalk and then like people like jump into your path. Like there's none of that. And the driving
suicidal pedestrian.
Yeah. And the driving's a lot better. There's just a whole bunch of like little stuff like with explosions. Like if you're super close to it, like it'll knock you on the ground, but if you're kind of close to it, it'll just kind of like make you stumble. So it's like just little stuff like that that they took the time to like make the difference in the animation. So
that's so cool.
I'm obsessed with it.
Sounds like it.
But I beat the game, so I'm ready to like come back to the Magic community.
About time.
What about you? Cool. Hot sauce?
No, nothing.
No.
Yeah, hot soup.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah
hot soup.
You know, it just reminds me of Brian and Danny and all those guys when I used to do all the clubbing and all that shit when we were 21. If he's trying to get through a crowd, they would fucking, they would make me like laugh into tears every single time. They'd be walking through the crowd and be like, hot coffee, lady with a baby, hot coffee, everyone back up, hot coffee. And so everyone would be like, right away, of course, you hear that.
Yeah.
You're backing the fuck up. All you try to do is,
I don't want any hot coffee.
All you try to do is cut in the front of the line. I'm like, you guys are, that's like so clever. It's only going to work once.
Yeah.
But if you go to a new spot, it'll fucking work every time. It's so funny. So anyone out there, let me know your story about that. It's hilarious. What have I been doing really though? I mean, I started playing Diablo 3 a little bit. It's Diablo 3. I'm getting, you get better loot. You know, drops are pretty nice. That's about it. I had my graduation ceremony last Friday, so I got like $500 in like tools and gift cards and cashola.
My little boy's growing up.
And then it's all, but it's all done now. You have like your 21st birthday.
Yeah,
and that's had, it. Right? And I have now. I have this thing, and that's pretty much it.
You got two more occasions left.
What, marriage and a kid?
Marriage and kid.
And a funeral.
I mean, you want to classify those as occasions? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, pretty much. That, you got that left over, but it's just another thing that's like gone. And now nobody's ever going to care again. You know, yeah. What happened for me now, and then if I ever bring something like that up again, like, oh, I got this new thing. I'm like, dude, you already did it. It's, you're good. Fucking,
all new, son.
Leave it alone. Give it, pass the torch, bro.
Just do your fucking job and shut up.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got a new ray, or I got a promotion. It's about time, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, hey, you're fucking 40. Yeah. Finally. Yeah, exactly. No one's proud when you get old. You know, you can never, you never have those moments.
This long shit.
Exactly.
Oh, it's the old, like, Louis C.K. bit. It's like, oh, I helped a 40-year-old man across the street today. Like, no, what? Nobody does
that. Yeah, 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 about that, yeah.
I feel really good about myself.
It's that, but it's that middle age, though, when you're really old, then you can be helped across the street, and you can be cued and just be whatever, and you do something that's, like, good. Yeah. Then it's like, oh man, look how he's so old and he's still doing this. That's amazing. And
yeah, if you're good
like,
for him.
If you're writing that like 35 to 55, like nobody's gonna give a shit. It's about everything like, that
get
you
out
do
the way,
is
jackass.
Expected. Yeah. Like donate all this money to charity. It's like, yeah, well you're fucking in your prime of money. Of course you better donate.
Yeah, give back, you fucking jerk.
Yeah, give back. Exactly.
Oh man.
But no, I don't know. I haven't done anything. That's it. I mean, I've been, I've put together a green good stuff deck and a white good stuff deck. Just because I want to play with some stuff before it rotates out, and that's it. It's nothing for me to, like, talk about. Imagine, like, what's the best rare with for one mana? I'm playing eight of, or Elvish four, Mystic. Four of that. No, but in white.
I know.
And then, no, well, what's the best?
Elvish Mystic.
Yeah, playing, always Elvish Mystic.
You know, Brymaz and Fiendslayer, whatever, Paladin, you know, and two Elspeths.
Precinct Captain.
Precinct Captain, you know, Soldier of the Pantheon. Like, all this shit that is just going to be, like, good stuff, I'm going to play it, and that's all I'm doing, so.
Good stuff.
Nice. Nykthos anywhere? Nykthos?
Yeah, two Nykthos.
Oh, I need to get some more Nykthos.
Oh, man.
Oh, but I did. The green is actually a little bit of Simic.
You better pick up Nykthos now before they, for the next set in case there's actually like good synergy.
That's the one thing I actually need to get. That's
I have four. I think you're spent too much.
$3, I think. Let me see.
Yeah, they're like $4.
Yeah, they're cheap right now.
They're not bad
Wait,
at all.
Let me look. Let
I paid $10 for
you. You know they're going to be good like late, like somewhere down the line. Like somebody's going to break it in some format.
Well, they're good right now on devotion list.
They're good, but I mean, like, it's going to be.
Not like super broken.
It's going to be broken at some point in magic.
When it works, it is broken. But it doesn't work hardly. You can, you can fuck it up a lot of ways.
You need a lot of things that cost a lot of mana that does a lot of stuff to make Nykthos good.
Yeah.
If you don't have that, Nykthos doesn't do anything. You're just putting a bunch of, like, tutus.
The best deck that takes advantage of Nykthos is Mono Green, just for Miss Cutter Hydra.
Shit, yeah, dude, because it has all the X,
Miss Cutter Hydra, Pelucranos.
Yeah, just all the good stuff.
Garrick, really.
Hydra Broodmaster.
Hydra Broodmaster, yeah, it's coming out. The Genesis Hydra.
Speaking of Hydra Broodmaster, or Genesis Hydra.
Genesis Hydra.
Or Genesis, that's
Hydra,
the one?
Genesis Wave.
Speaking Genesis of Wave. The Sega Genesis.
Yeah, exactly.
We have some more M15 spoilers that have come out recently. Today? Yesterday?
That's pretty good words. No. Right there.
Dude, I'm a master at sentences.
He's the wordsmith, right?
Yeah. The linguist to end all linguists.
No words.
Yeah. I shouldn't say
really?
Anything.
I had no idea.
I'm absolutely the most pathetic one here when it comes to the shit coming out of my mouth.
But I think M15 is coming out in July.
It's actually next month.
Yeah, it's like, when it's coming out. It's July starts June 23rd.
So yeah, so we're getting spoilers coming out.
13th or some shit. Like, it's pretty early in July.
No, I actually have it on my phone because my girlfriend is going out of town that weekend that it's coming out.
Magic all weekend.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah, it's like spoiler season coming up. I think
spoiler season starts for M15 June 23rd.
Yeah, so right now we're recording on a Monday, so spoilers start next Monday. From this, what we're recording today.
All
right. It's the 18th, right?
Nope, 28th.
Oh, it's way off.
It's a launch weekend is 18th to 20th. Release date. Oh, this is Magic Online. Release date is July 28th.
Yeah, they usually release on Magic Online like a week or two after the...
Yeah. So it's 18th,
so it is the 18th maybe then.
Yeah, okay. I think it's July 18th.
So what, the pre-release is the weekend before that.
Yeah. So it's coming up quick. But yeah, there's a lot of cool cards that are returning in M15. Because the M15s are the core set. So every year, if you don't know, that there's always a core set that Magic, that Wizards puts out. And it's always, you know, it's always Magic like M10, M11, you know, the year. So this year, it's actually, even though it's 2014, they're releasing the 2015 set, which is, it's basically has all your good stuff, your core good stuff. And they're actually doing a bunch of reprints, which is kind of unique on this set where they're doing it, they're going to have a bunch of the standard staples that come in a core set, but they're actually not going to be in the booster packs, which is kind of unique. They're actually going to be available through starter kits you can get through your local game store for free. But the cool thing about that is that for people like you know, us or other people that have been playing Magic for a long time that like the core sets, when you actually open a booster pack of a core set and you see like your Shivan Dragons, your cancels that you have tens of hundreds of these commons or, you know, uncommons or like the rares. Like Shivan Dragon, I think it's a rare.
It's a rare. Yeah. But it's,
I think at one point in time, it used to be like the bee's knees of like dragon, like magic cards. But nowadays, it's just like old news. Like nobody wants to see it anymore. And it's just
like back then, like a 4/4 flyer for six was... That was like the best you could do.
Breaking like, the form, like breaking your mold. Yeah. Like, oh my god.
They play that, you're like, oh, I concede.
Yeah.
This is like when they get the time machine and you're like, dude, check out my deck of today and show them. And they're like, whoa!
This is not magic.
Four mana. What?
What? 3/3 for three. Insane. But yeah, so I mean, this kind of cool because like I don't want to see Shivan Dragon in my rare slot of my M15 booster that I just bought because I already have like 8 Shivan Dragons. So it's. They're making Shivan Dragon available to you if you want it, and you can still play it in standard, so it's still a legal card, but they're just not putting it in the pack.
They're not going to waste your rare spot on cards that most people already have plenty of.
So instead of getting a Shivan Dragon 99% of the time, I can get a Hot Soup.
Yeah, Hot Soup is like an obvious upgrade.
Yes, no soup for you.
No soup.
So, but I mean, that's really cool. I find that... Awesome. I don't know if they've done this before. They may have, but I think this is the first time I've ever heard of Wizards doing this for a core set or any booster pack. Because, I mean, that's awesome. I mean, a lot of the cards that are coming back are really good cards from older sets, from older core sets, or even some from, I think, ones from like Zendikar or something like that. They have some really cool creatures coming back. But I think that's an awesome idea because I don't want any more Shivan Dragons, honestly, guys.
And they're not like
a lot of hate for that dragon, you guys.
There's probably only like one or two cards in there that might be constructed playable, and so like I like it. I like just having, you know, you have to have the limited side because that is a very fun format, in which Shivan Dragon is definitely a good card for the limited. But when it comes to constructed, you know, it's not really something you're going to be dealing with.
Yeah, but the thing I like is like their core set, the M15, they have Lightning Strike in there. Instead of Searing Spear or like Lightning Bolt or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, because it's already in Theros, but they're putting it again in M15.
So it will stick around longer.
Yeah, because I think they need that red removal.
No, it's in the same
block. It's the same thing. It'll be the same block, but I think they needed that red removal in Limited.
Oh, okay.
But they didn't. I think they're afraid to reprint Searing Spear, which I wish they would have. But that would let, you know, burn players have 8. Two mana, 3 damage burn spells.
Yeah.
Which I think probably been too much, but
yeah. You need those type of burn spells, especially in red, because that's most of its removal.
If
they had Searing
Spear,
it
would be so crazy. I would.
What if there's a deck that you play like 15 lands and you play like the red, so 45 or so, 2 mana, 3 damage burn spells. That's all you play. If you could just play, instead of playing 4 of each, you can play, just they just had enough and you could just fucking try to get through it every turn. Three damage.
That'd be so broken, really good. But yeah, I think like some of the notable cards I think in that they've spoiled so far, because Duels of the Planeswalker, which is the digital version, like the Xbox or like the Steam, the actual game version of Magic the Gathering, they spoiled a lot of maybe 20 of the new cards through that.
Yeah,
people like actually saw the video and like they pause it on like the screens and like they can extract information from that way.
There's always a grain of salt with that because there's a lot of cards that were in the Duels of the Planeswalkers game that have this like D15,
yeah,
D for Duels of the Planeswalkers. That a lot of these cards that are in the game might not actually be in paper.
So absolutely.
You always got to take these spoilers, especially the ones from the Duels of the Planeswalkers.
Yeah, because they're not official yet.
Yeah,
they're just
so
what people think.
There's a high probability that will be in there, but it's not for certain yet.
So when do the official like spoilers start coming out?
Spoiler season starts June 23rd.
June 23rd.
Official spoiler season.
Yeah, that's when Wizards Mothership starts giving out like different people, like you know, magazines. And
so once anything from June 23rd out is official, so that's gonna be in the core set for sure.
Make it official.
Well, isn't like Waste Not?
Yeah, Waste Not's official. There's a card that was developed.
The Defender, the red one.
Yeah,
Defender.
They have they spoiled a card I think recently that was developed by one of the head designers or one of the lead guys on at Blizzard that did like World of Warcraft, helped design or build or some to do with World of Warcraft, and he actually got to design a Magic the Gathering card.
Didn't they give out like a bunch of slots to different
15 slots.
That's slots? The number 15
Magic 15.
No, but that's the number this time around. 15.
Yeah.
So whenever they're gonna do something like this, it's gonna be like 15. You're gonna have 15 cards or 15 whatever.
But this one's kind of cool. It's called Xanthrid Skyblade. I think
Skyblade.
It's called. But it's really cool because it's a black creature, but it gets different colors abilities such as Hexproof.
Yeah.
Which
so it's a Xanthrid Skyblade. It's a 2 and a black for a 2/1 with Hexproof, so it can't be the target of spells or abilities. And what I really like about these core sets and when the keywords come out, they actually have the reminder text.
The little flavor text.
These core sets, one of the things is the core sets are kind of like beginner friendly. And they say the Theros Block. Those were like the expert expansions.
Yeah,
you know,
I think they used to print that on the
exactly.
Something like that. Expert level.
You know, if you're new, you're thinking about getting a Magic, hopping in a core set is the perfect time to do it.
Oh yes.
But yeah. Anyways, back to the Xanthrid Skyblade. It's a 3-mana 2/1 with Hexproof, and you pay 3 and a black. Until end of turn, Xanthrid Skyblade loses Hexproof and gains First Strike and Death Touch.
Yeah, so that already, on its own, a 2-1 Hexproof is already great in black. Like, you don't see that Hexproof in black. And then, with the added benefit, you can give it First Strike and Death Touch, which pretty much just blocks and kills anything for, 4 mana?
I think it's cool that that's a cool mechanic of losing an ability and gaining 2 other abilities.
Yeah, swapping something around.
Yeah, so it like makes it good in a certain situation, but also like weak to some stuff.
Vulnerable.
Yeah. I think that's a really cool design. And like, didn't the Plant versus Zombies guy make a card?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, that was
there's a community
the
made
Genesis
card which was
Hydra.
Waste Not.
Genesis Hydra.
Yeah.
Genesis Hydra was the guy who made Plants versus Zombies, pretty much.
But you guys got to go online and check out the art for this Xanthrid, the Skyblade, because it looks almost like a WoW rogue or something like that. Like the picture, it's like very reminiscent.
Yeah.
Of a World of Warcraft.
It's
rogue.
Very roguish, where they're in the shadows and the dark, and it's they got cool. Like some like small little blades on them and stuff.
Yeah, it does kind of look like it.
But yeah, that's one of the newer kind of cool cards that was spoiled in M15. I think there's another one that just came out, a promo of Garruk. It's like a 8-mana or 9-mana kill all creatures. In Garruk's Wake. Yeah, kill all creatures and that you don't control and destroy all planeswalkers.
That you don't control,
which is redundant. But they could just said like kill all creatures and planeswalkers you don't control.
Yeah.
Well, they have to add the you don't control part for older clause. Formats, because you can own it, but you can also not control it. So they have to say that they have to put that clause on all of it, pretty much.
Were you going to domesticate something? Is that what's going on? Put domestication on my
there's
breath?
Effects like that. So that's why it's there. I agree. It doesn't look good aesthetically, but I see why from like a design standpoint it has to be there.
It just looks funny when it's printed twice. Yeah. It's like they could just said it once, but then people would be like, oh, it says destroy all creatures, so yours die too, and then planeswalkers you don't control, you know? Yeah. So just it's kind of nice just to specifically state what it does instead of have room for error.
They just think we're all so stupid.
I know. Like, I don't know how to read words, I mean, which I don't.
We are kind of dumb.
What game are we playing again?
SMRT. I think the highlight of M15 is Elvish Mystics being reprinted. I think that's pretty much the end all.
Close the book on that one.
That's M15.
Actually, that's the end of the podcast. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Elvish Mystic.
this podcast is brought to you by Elvish Mystic. One mana, one. But,
brought to you by the forest that was produced by Elvish Mystic. What other cards are you guys excited about in M15? I don't even know which ones, like,
I'm waiting for them to spoil, like, we're reprinting Mutavault or something stupid.
We're reprinting Lifebane Zombie. I'm not playing green or white then.
What? they're reprinting it?
No.
We don't know yet. Oh, man. Are y'all excited? Like, what?
If they are, I quit Magic with the reprint.
Yeah, right.
Reprint fucking...
I'm excited for them to reveal, like, the Planeswalkers, just because...
There's a lot of, like, talk about Garruk.
Well, there's talk about, like, them kind of shaking up what each Planeswalker does, you know? They're going to try and put, like, a spin on it, or at least that's the talk that's been out there. I don't think there's any... thing that Wizards has specifically put out saying, oh, well, you know...
Just speculation.
Jace is gonna make fucking 1-1 Death Touchers, you know? It's like just speculation, but I'm really hoping that they kind of put a twist on the traditional colors and Planeswalkers.
I just hope they reprint Chandra, because the Chandra that's out legal right now, the Pyromancer or whatever it is, like, that's, I think, like, one of the best Chandras that they've had.
But they've printed it. They did M13 and M14 for that guy.
Oh, was it? And M13 too? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, maybe.
I thought that was the first time that was printed. Yeah. The Pyromaster.
I think M14 was
it's a possibility. I believe that they had two Planeswalkers that were reprinted for M. They're in M13 and M14.
Oh, it was Liliana and.
It was Liliana.
Memory Adept. Jace Memory Adept. Yeah. They were in 13 and 14.
Okay.
But I hope
and Chandra. A Johnny.
Yeah. Chandra.
He was in 13 and 14.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I was thinking of then. Because I was going to say, when I looked, I knew who Johnny was, but I'm like, what the fuck? Everything is, like, reprinted? What the hell?
I just want to use my fucking promos that I got.
I want Baby Jace. Give me Baby Jace.
But, Jace. That's cool. I don't know what I got
pictures if you want to.
Baby Jace. But, I don't know if there's any other crazy spoiled M15 cards that are, like, just mind-blowing besides, like, Waste Knot and, like, Genesis Hydra.
Resolute Archangel.
Oh, God.
Excuse me. Like, it's a 7-mana 4/4 flyer angel, right? Which is...
It's already kind of gay.
Pretty bad.
Angel, pretty bad. Bro.
I mean, there's Sarah Angel, which is on the same level, but has some other text on it, which makes it a completely different card. When a Resolute Angel enters the battlefield... If your life total is lower than your starting life total, it becomes your starting life total.
Yeah, it's good.
So, it becomes your starting life total. So you go up to 20. Every time it enters the battlefield, it goes to 20. And we had a card in, what was it, Journey, I think? Skybind? Get to blink out a non-enchantment permanent, maybe, when you play an enchantment?
But it's a non-enchantment permanent, right?
Yes. So, okay. Non-enchantment permanent. You play an enchantment, and you get to blink a non-enchantment permanent. So I want to be blinking this Resolute Archangel all day long and drawing all my cards and going back to the Fun Police route.
If enchantments were, like, flash, you know, instance or something like that, something about it, then maybe it would work, but it'd probably be able to get killed. You'd probably be able to destroy spell, and you're just like, that sucks. But either way, I agree that that would be a cool combo.
It's white, so either way, it dies to Doomblade. So,
Doomblade might not be there. We don't know yet.
So I got something to talk about.
Because
I was looking through all of them, and I'm like, I'm pretty meh, because, I mean, they haven't real spoiled much. So right now, I can really care less about the M15 in a lot of ways. I like Waste Knot. I like some of the other stuff. But I see this one is called Mahamoti Jin. Right?
Oh, that
it's
guy.
It's like a guy's name. His creature, he's a djinn. D-J-I-N-N.
A djinn.
And so before you actually read it, you just see there's just text everywhere on the card, right? It's fucking stacked. And it's got a name, so he's got to be somebody, right? Nope. He is a 5/6 flyer, 4/6, and he's a rare. And that's it. And all the text on there is just all flavor and explanation of flying. But when I saw it, I was like, oh, what is this for? That guy looks like the most interesting one of the set. Giving him a name should represent that he's going to have something special about him, something that his tribe, his whatever, contributes, you know, that's specific to him. No, he is a 5-6 flyer in blue for 6.
Just the fucking...
What is the point of that?
A draft rare.
Just name him whatever. Just name him... yeah.
I think he's from an older set, right?
Yeah.
As a reprint. Reprint.
Ooh, when I saw that, like when I was going through, when they released these 30 cards, the ones we were just talking about where they have standard legal cards in them that you can't get in the boosters.
Yeah.
Like when I was looking at the ones they were bringing back, I was like, dude, fucking... Who got shafted? I get a 5-6 for 6... And I get a worse dissolve canceled. So it's like, fuck.
Pretty sure, like, since it's coming back in the M set, it's just kind of like fluff.
I understand that you can't have really powerful things in a core set because that's not what it's there for.
Yeah, they just need stuff to kind of fill out the set.
Why do you give me the crappiest of the fluff? At least give me like a little nugget of fluff, and I'll be
nugget
happy.
Of fluff.
Yes, a nugget.
I like that nugget of fluff. But yeah, I think it's more like it is core set. So I mean, they can't do too craziness because they gotta sell those expansions. Like you can't give you all the good shit in
Mutavault.
Core set.
They put Mutavault on a core set.
Well, I think that was a mistake.
We can look through M14 right now. I mean, it was pretty heavy with some good cards.
There's good hate cards.
Scavenging News, Lifebane Zombie, Xanthid Necromancer, Doomblade.
That's a lot. I thought there was whenever I did my look at it, I'm like, there's actually like
there's
more cards.
All the Planeswalkers, of course.
It's like it's a good solid foundation. I wouldn't say it's like blow your mind crazy, but it's good foundation.
None of these cards you make a deck around. Let's just say that. None of these cards are like linchpins to decks.
That's fair. Well, all these cards Archangel Thune is pretty sweet, though.
That is a bomb and an angel.
But it's not like...
And Xanthid Necromancer, I mean...
There's never been really a deck revolved around specifically
Archangel. No, that's fair. Like, I agree with that sense, but they are super powerful.
They are powerful, but they're never linchpins. They're like a step below it. You know, if they had one extra thing to them, then they could be there. But
they only had an Elspeth.
Exactly.
Sun's
but
champion.
There are like, you know, like 5 or 6 really key cards.
Primeval Bounty.
Oh, that is a card.
Dude, that card was
if
so
you can
like
get there, what a disaster that you are fucking.
That card was like undervalued and like right here at the end before rotation, like it finally found a home and
well, the only reason
stupid
it's an enchantment.
Fucking yeah, enchantment. Yeah.
It's funny,
deck.
It's like an enchantment and like it's now finally starting to see play, but it's in a block with a lot of enchantment hate, so it just kind of like it's weird. It's like, oh, we're gonna play this enchantment now all of a sudden when there's all this enchantment hate floating around in the block. Like, yeah, that makes sense.
Well, it is kind of like just it's a ticking time bomb. Like, if you don't deal with it,
well, it's
like,
inevitability.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you have to deal with it at some point, or else you're just gonna lose the game.
It might as well just be like a Jace Memory of Depth for crying out loud. You know, like you cast anything and you're getting value from it.
But yeah. But yeah, core set, I am excited just to even just draft it because I love drafting the core sets. Like, I drafted M14. Like,
I hope M14 is like M14 where we have, like, turn 20, turn 30 games and, like, the card, like, Opportunity and Divination are just, like, powerhouses and stuff. I like a format like that where it's really slow and, like, very on in the early game, like, a lot of your decisions don't, like, affect the game outcome too much, but it just they compound, and if you don't deal with the situation, you lose no matter what you do by, you know, not playing it perfectly all the way through.
A lot of more seasoned players like hate core sets, and like I get it, like there's a lot of just boring.
Well, a lot of stuff they've already seen. Yeah, it's like
boring reprints that just they're nuggets of fluff. And, you know, they're just there because those are tools that are needed in the game constantly in, you know, standard legal. So I get why they don't like it, but
it's a good base. I don't know. I just like
I like drafting it.
It's exactly what it says. It's the core. This is the core. You're going to use a lot of stuff from the core, but you're going to use the majority of your stuff from the expansion sets to make these core cards work.
Yeah, but just even, like, drafting-wise, like, I don't mind it. Maybe, like, in 5-10 years, like, I'll hate it, you know? Like
how many times do I have to cast the cards? The same thing.
I have 15,000 cancels!
Yeah.
But I don't hate it quite yet, and I definitely see the reason for the core sets. Like, I agree with why they put them out and why they put the cards in them that they do and everything. And with M14 on Moto, I did definitely over 50 drafts on Moto. and so, yeah. But I don't know. Like I said, probably the more M sets that come out, the less likely I will be to draft them.
Yeah. That makes sense. But so speaking about drafting, I think we did a little drafting. What was it, last weekend?
Was it last weekend?
Not that long ago.
It was 1 weekend ago.
Huh.
1 weekend.
One weekend. What did we draft, guys?
I don't even know.
I don't know. I think it's kind of a secret.
Oh, well, let's dig through these documents here. Wait, hold. Guys, I think there's other people in on this draft. I think it's a conspiracy.
Oh!
Goodbye, you want me to, like, shut a window.
No, we drafted conspiracy. And so there was, like, a lot of people who didn't really, like the idea of conspiracy.
When I first heard conspiracy, I'm not sold on it. Like when Nice City first told me about conspiracy, when I first I didn't really read about it. I just heard about the idea of it. I'm like, yeah, that could be kind of crazy, I guess. But I was like, I wasn't sold on it until recently.
Yeah. So, if you don't know what conspiracy is, look it up. But a lot of people don't like it because it's not competitive. So, the grinders and the people who, take shit real seriously don't like it. And it's like, okay, first of all, Magic the Gathering is a game that you're supposed to be enjoying, regardless if you're a professional or you make your living or you're trying to, level up or whatever. Like, it's still just a game that's meant to be fun. And that's kind of what conspiracy is for me, especially when it has cards that I've never seen before and I've never been able to play with. And plus, I just get to dick around with you guys. I get it if it's at a Friday Night Magic and I have to play against some, fucking tryhard who's, gonna bitch if he's the first one out. I get that. But it's just it's the essence of the game, which is just have fun and try this, new crazy stuff out.
I feel like it's like drafting Commander, slightly.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, how's that kind
of
feel?
A lot of people have been saying that, and I think it's definitely like that.
But yeah, I mean, that was a lot of fun. When we drafted Conspiracy, I had really no idea. I knew, the one Chase Rare, what was, the Dak Faden or whatever.
Yeah.
I knew of him, but I didn't really know any other cards. I kind of went into that draft completely blind, which I think really helped with my enjoyment of it. Because a lot of times, the core sets of expansions, I will, study the cards.
Yeah.
Before, you're supposed to. I mean, when you go into, a draft like that, it's, competitive. You want to know every card, what your pick is, what you want to take and what you want to do with them. But, this conspiracy, it was just, oh, we're having fun. This is candy.
Yeah.
But,
it's candy. It's a multiplayer format, so you can't –
It's crazy.
Not like Magic. It's multiplayer. It's meant to just have fun, There are cards they bring back that have cool interactions and...
Yeah, the multiplayer format going, having four people at the table playing at the same time. The alliance is almost kind of going, one player is getting out of hand, everyone else teams up and...
So it's a very... It's a casual format, so if you like Commander, then you're going to love Conspiracy. If you're looking for, EV, if you want to, make money off the draft, or if you want Planeswalker points, or if you don't want to, waste your time if you're not going to get anything out of it monetarily, then don't bother with Conspiracy. But if you're just looking to have a good time, get some people you know that aren't dicks.
Especially not dicks.
Yeah, especially not dicks with Shafter. Get them together and draft some conspiracy. I want to get a box and just, the four of us be able to draft it, every couple months, Just,
yeah,
hey, you want to play conspiracy?
Get a box.
Yeah.
I'm down to get a box. But yeah,
so let's talk about some cards that we saw in conspiracy. What were some badass?
We didn't get any crazy good. I don't think any.
No, nobody mythics. Nobody pulled.
Nobody got, Dak Faden.
Dick in that way. But there was some
fun cards we got.
Some fun cards that we got.
I got a ton of fun cards I liked.
Yeah, well, I mean, Quickness got a lot of kind of cool. Did you get a Brainstorm? Yeah, you got Brainstorm.
I got Factor Fiction.
Oh, yeah, Factor
I got
Fiction.
Compulsive Research.
So these a lot of these cards in your name, they're legacy staples or modern staples. They're
like that.
They're good. They're blue cards, right?
Yeah.
Good blue cards. But no, I think I pulled, the only money card I pulled was a foil, a reflecting pool, which is a land card, which is always, you know, lands are always worth good money. And this one, it's just a standard land card. When you tap it, you can add any, add one of one mana to your pool of any type of land that you control that that mana could produce. So, like, say I have like an island in play, and I play this card, I can only tap that this reflecting pool for an island. Or if I had, you know, like a temple.
So it can't fix your mana, but it can produce any mana you're.
Yeah, so like say I had like, well, if I had like a dual land or something like that, then it could it could produce any
of those colors. But it's still, it's not fixing that.
Yeah, it's not like I can produce one mana of any color I choose.
But still cool though.
But it's still something that, you know, it's good that it doesn't come in tapped. But I mean.
Or let's say just you have, you're playing two colors and a lot of your cards are double costed, like double blue or double black. Like, it definitely helps out in that situation.
Yeah, but it's the only money card that I got out of my deck. But I kind of, my deck was kind of, I try to do like a synergy, like a commander synergy with defenders. I drafted a lot of white and red defenders. And my main, like, kind of cool cards that I pulled off were a red-white card called a Flamerite. It's a creature human artificer. And it's a 1-1 for red and a white mana. And you can actually pay one colorless and tap him. And put a 1-1 colorless construct artifact with defender on the battlefield. Or you could just tap him and sacrifice a creature with defender. And he Flamerite deals 1 damage to target creature or player. So I had this guy out and I was kind of trying to get as many defenders out as I could and produce as many 1-1 colorless defender tokens. So eventually I could play a red card, which is called the Vent Sentinel. It's a 3 colorless, 1 red mana. It's a 2-4 defender. And it has, you could pretty much, I wouldn't use him as a body. I just use him for his ability, which is a 1 colorless, 1 red mana. And you could tap Flamerite, or the Vent Sentinel. And he deals damage to target player equal to the number of creatures with defender you control. So what I was trying to do is just build up as many defenders as I could.
Tokens.
Get this Vent Sentinel on the field and just pay the 2 mana and tap him every time and do like
5 damage.
Yeah, 4 or 5 damage to every, to target player. You know, so I could just keep whittling my went down with that.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. You have defenders, so like you're going to protect yourself.
Yeah,
and then you can go around their creatures using that card.
Exactly, and like actually the deck, I didn't really get to combo off too much because the quickness kind of screwed my plans up with one of his blue enchantments, where I could only tap my Vent Sentinel once to do, you know, like 3 damage. But I drafted like a Wakestone Gargoyle, which is a 4-mana 3/4 white defender flying creature where you could. His ability is you can pay 2 mana and allow him to attack as though he didn't have defender. And then I had, I think the star kind of card of my deck was this a 1 white mana creature called Pride Guardian. And it's a 0-3 Catmonk. And he has defender. But it's whenever he blocks, you gain 3 life. Which is like so big against like anyone that has, you know, little creatures. You just pretty much just chomp them all day. And
It stops the first like 3 or 4 turns of your opponent.
You
bring that thing out and they're like, well, I'm not fucking attacking on my 2/1s and all my other shit. Even if you, I mean, you just don't want to even trade barely, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just 3 fucking life. Jesus Christ.
But I unfortunately only picked up 1 conspiracy card, which was Brago's Favor. It's essentially, it's you choose, before you start the game, you pretty much, you secretly name... Or choose a card name, which I chose was Apex Hawks, just because it was kind of, I had 3 of them, and they're just 3 mana 2/2 flyers, and I just wanted to get them out sooner. Essentially, this conspiracy says you name that card Apex Hawks, or whatever you want, and then spells with the chosen name you cast cost 1 colorless less. So instead of my Apex Hawks costing 3 mana, it was only 2 mana.
Awesome.
Which was
2/2 flyer for 2 mana.
Yeah, they're all stars in all the games. And they have multi kicker, which means you can pay 1 colorless, 1 white. And every time you pay that 2 mana, it comes on the battlefield with an additional 1/1 counter on it. So if you had excess mana, you could just kick it around many times and get, like, you know, a 4/4 flyer for, you know, 6 or 8 mana or whatever it is. But yeah, I had a lot of fun with my deck. I didn't really get the combo off when we played, but I still was able to, I think I, what, did I win the first game that we played?
Oh, yeah, you stomped the first
game. I won the first game and then I got annihilated the second game.
Well,
it was fun.
You still were ahead the second game damn near the whole time. And then we had to gang up on
that's it. True. Yeah. The multiplayer aspect of the game kicked in, so, and I got
I took home the second game, but not really. It's just only because we all teamed up on you, and I was the last one. That's all.
Yeah, but that was a lot of fun. I mean, I had good times with this deck, and I'm going to keep this deck together and actually just, you know, play it for fun if we ever get together for multiplayer games. But,
I drafted a 3-color deck. It was blue, red, white, and You know, I just saw a bunch of the blue cards that I love playing with, like I always wanted to play with, like Brainstorm and Factor Fiction, things like that. Just like really, like, I don't know, to me they're really interesting, and like they have a lot of cool effects with other cards you can do with them. So I was like, you know, it's meant to be like a fun draft. I'm not supposed to take it seriously. I'm not doing like a Theros block draft or anything like that, where I want to be competitive and like, you know, get in people's faces and take them down. But you know, I had that. I kind of had the Vent Sentinel combo where I had a couple defenders and that, and then I was like, I had there's this one flyer, it's a 4/4 flyer for 6. That you would counter any spell or ability that targeted for the first time each turn, which is really nice. So I was like, yeah, it's my finisher. That's, you know, it's gonna be really hard to get off the table. It's a 4/4 flyer. It's a pretty big flyer in this set. So I was like, you know, that'll be good. It'll be perfect. I'll have my defenders. I'll have my draw cards. You know, and I had Stasis Cell, which is a 5 mana. You know, you enchant their creature. And it doesn't untap during their next opponent or their next untap step, so they get to attack or use their ability once, and then after that they can't use it again. And then I could pay 4 mana and put it back in my hand to put on another player or another creature if I wanted to.
Love that flexibility.
Yeah, that card would ruin. It's great. You know, it's good, but your guys' decks were too quick and had too many creatures, and I didn't have enough action.
Pick one.
No.
So yeah, I just drafted a lot of stuff I just wanted to play with, just because I never had a chance to play with these cards. So I didn't really build or draft a strong deck that had like a clear-cut goal. The only goal I had was just draw a bunch of cards. So that doesn't win you Magic games, so I lost horribly each time. So that was my deck.
My pack one, pick one was Dimir Doppelganger. It's a 1 blue-black for a 0/2. And then I pay 1 blue-black exile target creature from a graveyard. Dimir Doppelganger becomes a copy of that card and gains this ability.
Oh, it's just like you.
that does.
The likeness is shocking.
My breasts aren't that big, though.
Nah, I mean,
not yet.
Well, when I grow up, though. So I love blue black and I know how to play it, you know. It's just a lot of control and removal, and so I figured screw it, I'll just jump right in and force it. And I was able to put together kind of a decent deck. I got a Brainstorm and a Compulsive Research. Also, another card that did a lot of work for me was a Vampire Hexmage for a black for a 2/1. Has first strike and you can sacrifice it and remove all counters from target permanent, which surprisingly in this format was super relevant.
Yeah, counters on everything.
Oh, yes.
So that was really good. Once it was done being able to attack or defend profitably, I could just wait and sack it. I also had cool little combo with Wake Dancer. Whenever it has Morbid, so whenever it enters the battlefield, if a creature died this turn, put a 2/2 black zombie creature token on the battlefield. And so I would put Unhallowed Pact on it. So whenever enchanted creature dies, return that card to the battlefield under your control. So when it died, it would come back, and also a 2/2 zombie would come back. So that was kind of cool. But the real workhorses of my deck was the Lurking Automation. I had 2 of those. It's a 5 casting cost artifact creature. Pretty much its power and toughness are equal to the number of cards you drafted before it in that pack. So that it was a 5/5 for 5 basically. But I used a conspiracy card on it, Mazio's Preparation. Basically, when it enters the battlefield, it gets an additional 1/1 counter. So it was a 6/6 for 5. I had 2 of those. And also had 2 Cogwork Trackers. It attacks each turn of Fable, and it attacks a player.
Go on.
Pretty much, whoever passed it to you, it has to attack that person. And obviously, if that person's out of the game, then it can attack anybody. But I also had a Mazio's Preparations on it. So it was a 5/5 for 4. And then I had...
Is that the one that can only attack Hot Sauce?
Yeah, it can only attack Hot Sauce.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah, he's like looking at me writing my name down. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, this one, the conspiracy mechanic cards.
Yeah, and then I also drafted another conspiracy, Secret Summoning. Basically, when I... when a creature with the chosen name enters the battlefield, I search my library for any number of cards with that name, reveal them, and put them in my hand. So I named the Lurking Automation Automaton.
Automaton.
So, yeah. I mean, that was basically my deck. I had some other cards. And my deck wasn't super, like, synergistic. I had a little bit of removal and a little bit of control. But it just couldn't stand up to Reich's, like, little pillow fort with his flyers. Because I only had, like, one flyer.
Yeah, a lot of flyers. Yeah.
All the evasion. So, all the synergy. It is
but mine. I had a lot of fun. It was just kind of... fun playing with these cards we've never played with before, and especially with the conspiracy cards.
I just love having to like sit there in my hand of like, you know, the draft hand of like just reading like all the cards. Like I have no idea what the hell I'm looking at.
Yeah, exactly.
Like what is this even?
Exactly.
What about you, Sauce?
So my pack one pick one is like it became like a very important card. I was really excited. It was a uncommon conspiracy called Unexpected Potential. You may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast spells with a chosen name. So, you know, same thing. You write down the name of whatever card you choose before you start playing. And what that allows, why it was so important, is I can go ahead and pick up any bomb I want to from any pack from this point on. It was my pack on pick one, so I had all the cards to draft. So whatever ridiculous card that I was like, oh, those aren't my colors, or they're fucking three colors, or whatever, you know, it didn't matter. I could pick one of those and cast it with this guy and spend my mana how I wanted to. So I did. So I played three colors, and the card I chose was not in those colors. And it was Grenzo, Dungeon Warden. Enters the battlefield with X11 counters on him. It's a X, black, and a red. So he comes out as a 2-2, but of course it'll add X and 1-1 counters. You pay two colorless, put the bottom card of your library into your graveyard. If it's a creature card with power less than or equal to Grenzo's power, put it onto the battlefield. So you pay, let's just say you pay X is 4, and then you play your black and your red, so it's a 6-6, because it comes with 2 to start with. So that means like anything that has a power of 6 or less, which is fucking everything, I could pay 2 mana and potentially bring that shit out. It honestly didn't work that well, but it did scare everybody, so I did like that.
Everybody I was like, oh my god, what?
I brought in a couple things, but they were like pretty low threats. But my other card that I had was an immediate action. It's a conspiracy that gives the chosen name haste. I did that with this card, Elfish Aberration, and the reason I did that is it comes out and you can tap it for 3 green mana. And so I was able to, like, it costs 6 to bring this guy out, so I pay 6, but then I could tap it right away, and then, you know, I could just, it's just a fucking,
essentially for
a
3.
Man accelerant.
It's a man accelerant. What the hell's that, that Rampant card that you...
Elvish Mystic?
No, the double red, double green one, and it brings out, when you bring it out, then you can, it brings to your mana pool a red and a green.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell's that shit called?
Oh,
Burning Tree Emissary.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of that. I mean, you have to tap it, but it is kind of cool to, like, oh, I bring out this thing, well, it makes this thing cheaper, and...
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun, and plus I could tap it that turn to flash something else, and I played blue green, and a little bit of black, and so the blue green stuff was like had a lot of flash, and a lot of instants with morbid, so I'd wait for something to die, and then I'd flash in 3 2-2 wolves,
oh yeah,
and all kinds of shit like that.
I think
so
that was like your biggest. Yeah. Part of your deck that was shitty to play against was when you flash in those wolves.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
And what was the card that interacted with the wolves?
Oh, it was a third conspiracy card. And that one just gave everything... What is this shit? Come on!
Yeah, I know. These guys drafted... Two drafted all the conspiracy cards. Like I was like, yeah. I passed the conspiracy cards like maybe like once or twice. I was like, oh, they'll come back around. I'll get it. And then like the third time it comes, I'm like, there's no more conspiracy cards. That's like, I needed a conspiracy card.
The main thing I was drafting.
I didn't draft a single conspiracy card.
The third conspiracy I got was a common. Creatures you control with the chosen name have tap, add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. Well, I had wolf tokens for days, and so I was able to go ahead and if I needed to, I could just tap that shit for any color I wanted to also, you know. So I had basically I had a very good Manic Slurrent deck, so I could bring out my hand would be empty basically each time. So that's it. I mean, it was sweet. I really enjoyed it. I love Morbid. Morbid is like one of those
that's an Innistrad
mechanic,
right?
Yeah, I just love that, the mechanic and everything. Dethrone didn't really do shit.
Yeah, Dethrone's actually a kind of cool mechanic. I think it's cool, only
but
conspiracy.
It didn't do anything for the games we played, I felt like.
But yeah.
I had like one card with Dethrone.
Yeah, we didn't really have a lot of cards to make Dethrone really good.
Yeah, the only thing about this draft I was kind of sad is that we didn't find a conspiracy that was like the library technician or something like that, where it was like you could add another pack into the pool.
Yeah, I was really hoping for that.
Because we ended up buying, I ended up getting three different packs, like three completely separate packs from like all these different older sets. Like I got one from I can't remember what the
Innistrad
name is. Like Mirrodin Besieged. I got an Innistrad and a Judgment pack, and I was hoping we'd pull one of this so we could just like choose one of these packs and just like add it into our draft to be even more janky. But
you kept it, right?
Have them now. I have them now. We're gonna do a chaos draft of it.
Hopefully this coming weekend we'll be doing a chaos draft.
But chaos draft is just
pick any three packs you want. I think, I don't know what the exact definition is, but it's any three packs you want, minus homelands, or minus the unsets.
So just like a zany draft where it's just like a whole bunch of mishmash.
Everything's gonna be all crazy and a whole bunch of cool interactions. So.
But yeah, I definitely want to get a box of conspiracy because I think it was a lot of fun, especially when you're like with us where we have four people.
Yep.
Consistently, and we're able to just do like a four-man draft or whatever, and then actually be able to play four-man multiplayer.
Yeah,
it's like awesome for us.
Yeah,
and it's a lot of fun.
Speaking of drafting, let's hop into our newest installment of Noob's Knowledge.
Noob's Knowledge.
So today we're going to be talking about kind of the basics of drafting. Why don't you go ahead and explain to us, Reich, what drafting is?
What is drafting?
Yeah.
What is drafting?
Is that the one thing where, like, I go on ESPN and, I pick the football players up?
Yeah, they do that every year, and they do it, like, at the...
It's the NASCAR thing, you know?
Oh, yeah, where you're getting behind cars. They get close to your bumper,
they slingshot them up.
Yeah, I saw that,
aerodynamics.
Yeah.
Like Days of Thunder or something like that.
Something about wind, air...
But yeah, drafting
is drag coefficient.
Drag coefficient? Is that
bless
what it is?
Yeah. Small but different words.
But yeah, drafting in Magic is essentially a format. They call it it's a limited format in Magic terms.
It's like the most popular limited format.
Yeah, and it's pretty much essentially, it's usually done with eight people. Eight people have three booster packs, either three core set ones or one of each of the three expansions or whatever the format calls for, whatever's out. Essentially, you have three booster packs and there's 15 cards that come in each booster pack. And essentially what you do is each player at the table, out of eight people. So there's pretty much in your first pool, there's going to be eight people opening one booster pack of 15 cards. And so you open your booster pack, look at your 15 cards, you decide which is the your favorite card or whatever card you're looking for in that pack, you remove that card from the pack, and then you pass your 14 cards to the next person down the line. So usually it goes, I think it starts to the left.
Left, right, left.
Everyone takes a card out of their pack, passes it to the left, that person takes a card out, and essentially you just keep going all around the circle until there is zero cards left. And then you begin open your second pack of 15 cards, just rinse and repeat to the right, and then back to the left again until you have pretty much, I think it's around like 40...
65?
Or you end up with around like 60-some cards, I think, or how many cards do you end up once the whole draft?
You get 45 cards.
Yeah. So you end up with a 45...
45 cards.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
horrible math.
Yeah, but anyways, so you end up with a big pool of cards, and then from those cards, you have to kind of decide which cards you want to play and how you want to play. Like, you know, just pick out the best cards that'll work for a deck, and then you end up essentially at the end of the draft, you're supposed to construct a 40-card minimum deck out of the cards that you picked, including the lands. But lands are actually, for drafts, they're pretty much provided to you. Usually the game store will have it, or you bring your own lands, or however you want to do it. But lands are free. You don't have to draft lands because there's not enough lands in the packs to provide for everybody.
You can't draft the lands if the lands are in the boosters. So if like this current set, the Scry lands, you could draft a Scry land and include it in one of your lands. But
yeah.
You also have to think of at the time that you're drafting the lands, so you're passing up like other cards that could be good. So I mean, there's a trade-off.
Yeah, the special lands are always something you could draft, but just like basic mountains or lands, basic forest, you don't have to worry about those. Those will be provided to you.
So you draft those 45 cards. You're gonna have 45 at the end, no matter what. You're gonna play probably 23, 24, 22 of those cards in your deck, and then you will be getting the lands provided by your local game store or your buddies or your own damn pocket or whatever. So just think that you're going to be using half the cards you draft.
Yeah, essentially. So you'll have a 40. Hopefully you'll have a 45 card pool of playable cards, and then you whittle it down to roughly, I think, the common, common acceptable amount of playable cards. Excluding the lands is about 23. So you want to shoot for a 23 cards, either like a mix between like creatures and spells that add up to a total of 23 cards, and then you add the lands into that to make up the 40 card deck, essentially. But I mean, this format is really good in Magic because it allows players that don't really know about cards to kind of learn about cards as you play. It's really good at, like, you know, just a when buddies get together and, you know, you just want to buy packs, you don't want to show up with your super crazy, you know, your deck, and like, you know, everyone's on equal footing, essentially. There's
you don't want to spend $200-$300 on a standard deck right off the bat just to play. You want to go and buy a couple packs and then you play, and then you can use those cards for whatever. You can play your limited deck again against your buddies you played with in the draft, or, you know.
Exactly, and it's different every time, and it's like everybody loves opening booster packs, no matter how little value there is. Like, you don't really want to go to a store and just buy a booster pack just to open it, even though we do anyways, because we just love doing that. But it's really fun, because you have three packs, pretty much, and you get to open each one, and you get to see the best card, and potentially take it, even if you don't want it. I mean, if you don't use it in your deck, it's still, if it's like a money card or something, you can still, you know, pick it out, and that's your card.
Your standard deck, you're just like, this thing going to help me in the draft, but I can use it in my standard deck. So boom.
Exactly, and it's, you know, it's a really fun format, but it does take some time to get into and be competitive in, and
there is a little bit of strategy when it comes to actually drafting, or just being able to realize what you need when you need it. Like, you can't just. There's been multiple times where I've drafted and I'm just like, man, all these spells are so good.
Yeah.
And I'm like on the last pack and I'm like, I only have like five creatures. Like, fuck, you know, like, you know, there's certain things you have to keep in mind, and it comes with practice, and it comes with, you know, just kind of making mistakes. And, you know, that's why I drafted M14 on Modo, you know, over 50 times, is because the first, like, you know, 30 times, like, just horrid, constant mistakes. But it was, like, you know, it's fun because you get the cards from it, but you also, like, get value instead of just opening the packs outright.
Yeah.
You get some fun value.
And plus, you gotta remember, this is, like, a completely different format. So your card evaluation is completely different than normal. You can't go in, like, with a constructed mindset and just be like, oh, this card, you know, I see it played constructed all the time. It's got to be a good card. Well, it's only a constructed playable card because it has this other card that when you put them together, you get, like, this powerful effect that you're not really going to see in a limited pool because you're opening up all these different packs. You're not guaranteed to get one. And even if there's one in the card pool, you're not guaranteed to actually get that card. So you kind of have to it's one of those things where you just need a lot of experience. You got to see these cards firsthand. You're like, there might be one card where you're like, this card's crap. You know, I never want to play this card. And then you lose to it every single time. Yeah. And then you're just like, okay, well, maybe I have to change my evaluation about this card and see why it's so good, I'm losing to it all the time.
It's like the whole Shivan Dragon thing. Like, the reason a lot of people have a lot of them is because they want them in draft. In draft, Shivan Dragon is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
But in constructed playable decks nowadays, like, you... there's not much room for
it's outclassed by everything else.
Yeah,
exactly.
But like when you put your, you know, when you put your draft goggles on, like when you see a Shivan Dragon, like if it's like, you know, someone passes you a Shivan Dragon, you're like, holy shit, fuck yeah, I'm taking this.
Card evaluation comes signals, which will eventually allow, you know, you get past the Shivan Dragon, like, you know, third or fourth pick, you're just like, well, I guess red's open, and I'm taking the Shivan Dragon because it's gone for a while, apparently, and nobody's taking it, so I'm clear to go, or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of, once you do enough drafts, you kind of get these feelers out, like, where you'll notice, you'll look at a pack, and you're like, okay, I know kind of what's missing from this hole, what color is being picked out of this whole draft with this pack. And then you kind of get a sense of like, okay, the person to the left of me is possibly playing this color, or the person to the right of me is, you know, passing me these colors, so he's definitely not looking for this. So
or even like with archetypes, you know, you get past like gray merchants or something like that, you'd be like, okay, well, somebody might be black, but if they pass the gray merchant, it's, you know, I'm pretty okay to go in the black because, you know, you just get a bunch of black permanents. Gray merchant's a bomb on its own.
Or so. If like it's pack three and you get past the gray merchant but you're not in black, you're like, I am taking this gray merchant because there's nothing really, you know, awesome in this pack for me, but I'm taking this, so the fucking whatever black drafter at
dude,
the
you
table
got an excuse. It's fucking draft goggles, dude.
Draft goggles, dude.
Draft goggles are on.
You walk into the booster and you're like, what's up, baby? You know,
what's up, Shipping Dragon? How you doing?
Dragon, you know, and all your buddies are like, dude, it's not good. It's not good, bro. Come on, man. You can do better than that. Come on. I got this.
You wake up next day, you know, it's the constructed sun is coming through the windows. And look over, you're like, oh, God, Shiv and Dragon,
no. You look, what did I draft yesterday? And you look through it, and you look at all these crap cards. It's perfect. It's the perfect analogy. I love it. My favorite. Dude, the draft goggles is we're making a shirt.
Yep.
I love it.
Got my draft goggles on. Oh, wow. But,
Well, you know, you shouldn't draft on an empty stomach, so let's talk about bread.
Okay, so bread
was
is...
Was that a sweet? I'm going to give myself props. That was a sweet segue.
I'm bringing...
Wonder Bread's good.
Yeah, MTG bread is it's where it's at. Oh, man. So what bread is essentially, it's a...
An acronym
for kind of a strategy to draft. We can't take credit for this because this was, I think, Melissa De Toro is a professional. She's a professional Magic player, and she had a primer kind of explaining bread. I don't know the origins of bread. She could have, you know, came up with an acronym, but it could be, you know, common knowledge. But essentially, bread is BREAD, in case you don't know how to spell bread.
Really?
It is an acronym. And,
BREED. I've always spelled it that way.
Yeah.
Breed.
Bread. That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
But essentially, the B in bread stands for bombs, which are...
What are bombs?
Shiv and Dragon.
Your Shiv and Dragons.
But what's like the definition of a bomb?
I know it. The 8-mana, 6/5 boar that gives everything hexproof.
That is not a bomb.
No, but that's the definition of draft goggles.
That is the definition of draft goggles.
I'll get there.
So, I mean, bombs are like your...
Elspeth.
Your Elspeth.
It's what's going to close out a game for you. When you play this, if they don't deal with it, then the chances are good that you're going to win the game.
They only have a couple turns before they lose the game if they don't answer.
And they're really good. I mean, they just be really good cards where you play it and your opponent just looks at it like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't have
nothing in my deck can take care of this.
Like your Pelucranoses, your Elspeth, your Brymazes,
or like a Shivan Dragon, they have no flyers, they have no anything with reach, and they already used all their removal, so they're like, well, that thing's gonna get through for the rest of the game.
It avoids like all the burn spells they have or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Exactly. And they are your kind of your closers, so they're kind of your win condition.
Right.
The R in bread stands for removal, which is always essential to a good draft deck, either removal like a burn spell for red removal.
Lightning Strike.
You know, like such as Lightning Strike or, you know, even Shock is a good removal card.
Party Tricks. Love Party Tricks.
Party Tricks considered as removal. Counters Magic like Dispel or Cancel. That's also kind of considered a removal card because it does remove it when it comes into play.
Yeah, the little thing, counter spells are kind of like on the lowest end of the removal.
Yeah, they're not the best removal, but they're still effective.
You still have to like keep mana up, and they're not going to play, you know, they might not play something you want to counter or something like that, so it kind of just can rot in your hand.
Yeah, but
they're the distant cousin of like Doomblade, you know?
you don't want three dissolves in your draft deck. Let's just say that. At the most, you want maybe one.
Very sparing. Very sparing with the counter magic. But removal is just like the main, like, you know, like
when I think of removal, I think of burn spells and black.
Yeah,
like
unconditional removal. Yeah.
Doomblade, Hero's Downfall for black, or like Ultimate Prize.
Devour Flesh.
Devour Flesh.
Tragic Slip in previous formats.
Ooh, yeah,
which is a great card. But anything that pretty much just deals with a creature or planeswalker instantly.
I would say there are like bombish types removal, and there's just like normal type removal.
Yeah,
you have your Hero's Downfall, which is like a bombish. It's like it's unconditional. You have the mana, it gets rid of it regardless. Or you can have like a Pinnacle of Rage. You know, you spend 6 mana, deals 4, but they could pump it, and then now you spent 6 mana and it doesn't do anything.
Or like the ultimate price where it can only be monocolored. So it's like conditional removal because there are conditions on when you can use it.
So there are like removal spells that are like just way better than the rest.
Oh yeah, there's definitely like, higher up skills, but like removal like in limited, good removal is like always one of your higher picks. But there's still like removal is removal, and there's no way you need some
you
kind of
to have it,
party trick or some kind of removal
or not.
Yeah,
pack one, pick one. I will always pick a Hero's Downfall. If it's in my first pack, I will pick it. Like that is just too good.
You know what's a bomb? I think in limited and stuff like that. Actually, when I think about it, it's another podcast too. The one that destroy target creature and destroy target land. People play three colors, and if you can destroy that one color of mana, that they only have one of.
The one that just came out.
Spiteful Blow.
Is that the
that's
the ass?
The ass one.
The ass one. Like,
blowing away people.
6 mana for removing one creature, that's not the point, I don't think. I think the point is that they're fighting to get their three colors up, and they only have one mana of that one. They're not going to have two of each one, not until way later. And it'll fuck them up. I love it.
Like a two-color deck, there's a lot of times where you can have, like, a blue-black deck, and, like, you're playing against them, and they'll have, like, 5 swamps and 1 island.
Yep.
You're just like, okay, well, I'll just blow your island up, and you can't play a blue spell now, so...
Destroying one creature is fantastic, but destroying a way for them to even create creatures or spells or whatever is fan-fucking-tastic.
How much was, how... You just mentioned it, the removal, the...
Spiteful Blow?
No, the... fuck. I'm gonna have to edit
The Barclays of Broadway?
the 5 mana in Theros?
The 5 mana in Theros?
The removal or 6 mana?
Pinnacle of Rage?
No, the black.
What the hell does it do?
Black removal. Kills.
Oh, the,
You just said it.
Xbox, sign off.
It's,
Xbox, I love you.
Xbox, come here, you sexy thing.
Now, freaking YouTube or whatever is going to recognize that shit, and it's not going to let us upload this fucking video. Or upload this.
So, what was it? I just totally forgot. Editing.
Sip of Hemlock.
Sip of Hemlock.
It's not a real...
So that's... Is that,
Milk of the Poppy.
Is that 5?
Yeah, Milk of the Poppy.
5 or 6, yeah.
So stupid.
Okay, I totally forgot my point.
Sip of Hemlock.
Okay, so Sip of Hemlock for removal, even though it's like... I think it's 5.
It's very clunky. Like.
Yeah, it's very clunky, but it's removal nonetheless. So, like, if you're in black, like, you're not going to be super happy about it. But if you get one or two in your pack, you're like, okay, at least I have something that can
that
remove.
Can deal with their bomb.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm always happy to play one. Yeah. I'm always happy to play one. You know, beyond that, you know, could. You know, depends, you know, on how much your removal package you have or don't have. But,
Rike, I'll kill your freaking Elfish Mystic.
Don't kill my
Elf.
What did he ever do to you, man?
He's just chilling out. Just be like, I just want to just make some green mana over here. That's all, guys. Don't worry about me. What's up, baby?
Tap.
Yo, baby Bubba, just don't worry about this. Just make us some green mana.
Was that Snoop Dogg? All right.
So what's the
Anyways,
E stand for?
So the E in bread, B-R-E-A-D, the E stands for evasion, which is another really important aspect of drafting. Because if you don't have evasion, a lot of times you don't have a way to get damage in.
Trample evasion?
Well, what is evasion?
Evasion.
Is hiding underneath the draft table evasion?
That is concealment.
Can I make a fourth of lands?
Evasion is the morning after you draft.
Yeah.
And you get out, you need to duck out of
there.
You
need to sneak out of that room.
You start opening your eyes, you just see red, and you're like, no, Shivan Dragon.
Oh,
yeah.
No, why are there potato chips all over the ground? What? You try to sneak out, it's all...
Oh, okay. creaky floor.
Oh, yeah, creaky floor. That probably been a better one.
No. In the bedroom, there's potato chips everywhere.
Oh, man.
It's
crackling. Why is the bubble wrap everywhere?
I can't tell you how many times I woke up. I'm like, fuck, dude, there's Lays on the ground. Yeah, God dude. Damn it.
What did I do, screw Mrs. Potato Head or something?
Oh, no. Mr. Potato Head's going to be so mad.
He's going to lose his head. So evasion. What evasion. Is evasion?
Oh, man. I can't go on anymore, guys.
He probably wouldn't lose his head. He just loses the pieces on his head.
Yeah.
If he loses his head, that he still is, because that's what all he is. If he loses his head, he's basically just moved from one place to the next. Because potato is the
just
whole thing.
Killing it.
Can we go this one?
Just killing it. Just.
Pretty bad.
That was a bomb right there.
That's
a good example of a bomb.
If everybody has AIDS, then nobody has AIDS. Think about that.
Mind
fuck. Some hazy thoughts with the hot sauce.
We can always edit that out.
Anyways,
no, it's staying in there.
I think that should be our slogan. We can always edit that out.
That's our podcast, yeah. That's our motto.
But you can't edit drafting.
No, you can't.
Our motto is, we should probably edit that out. But we never do.
Evasion. That is things such as flying, intimidate, and that's pretty
unblockable.
Much unblockable. Well, that's
kind of like intimidate in a way.
Yeah, pretty much intimidate.
So it's ways to get your damage through to the player.
Yeah.
Or things like creatures that tap, that deal damage to something. That's like kind of like evasion because you're
getting around their creatures.
You're still getting damage through, but you're not having to go through a wall of creatures.
So like
or a way to tap
was
down
that
creatures.
White one, Master Diversion.
Yeah.
When he comes into play, right?
No, it's like a Helion's Emissary. Whenever they attack,
you can tap something down.
Right.
So it's like pseudo evasion.
There's a few of those though. There's like heroic stuff like that, or even I'm sure there's even like a constellation or some shit probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
But eventually
the classic ones are intimidate,
and flying is pretty much one of the biggest evasion that you can find in a limited setting.
You're gonna need flyers.
Flyers are
of what color you're in, you're gonna have some flyers.
Yeah, flyers are a huge problem to deal with if you don't have any way to interact.
What if your opponent brings out one flyer and you don't have removal in your hand and you know your deck is only flyers, you're just like game.
It's gonna hit me for three for the
man that paper turns.
Yeah, this is why flying is very important, or reach, or just having a lot of board pressure, because flying will run over you if you're not ready for it.
Like a 2-1 for three with flying, draft it. Two damage in the air.
That is
two damage every turn.
I would say that's almost borderline bomb in draft.
That is like that gets the engine going. It gets the damage going.
Biggest dick hair right now in the current meta is white flying with heroic.
Yes.
Biggest dick hair ever. It's going to be a 1-1 for two with flying, and then they're going to freaking protect it. They're going to do some kind of spell against it, whatever, a pump spell or protection spell or anything, and it's just going to grow and grow and grow, and it's going to be
I'll tell you right now, in the draft format we're in right now, a Crowan Skyguard, pack one, pick one, common.
It's
a huge bomb, and if you can get away with it, put enough things on
Crowan. Pack two, pick one.
No, pack one.
I'm opening
you
up Horn of the Gods first.
Pack two, whatever. But anytime I see it in that first pack,
It's a pick one.
First pick for me.
Yeah.
Just because
it's a pick. It's a pick.
It's a definite pick, because it just can run away so easily. And in this format, the draft format that we're in, there's so many enchantments and so many targetable effects that you can trigger heroic on it so easily, and it gets out of hand.
The whole block's about like just combat.
But essentially,
to deal with combat.
Yeah,
so.
The E is the evasion, and flying and intimidate are one of the best ones. Trample is kind of a little bit of evasion, just a way to push damage through. But it's really just able to get your guys over or under the other guy's creatures. That's pretty much one of the higher up ones. I mean, it kind of goes in a tier. So you want your bombs, and then you're looking for your removal, and then of course you're looking for your evasion. Next up we have our the A in bread, kind of a what's kind of a, they call it aggro, or kind of a building your curve or your deck. So you don't want, you don't want to draft a deck that's all like 10 drops. Like, I have only 7 drops in my deck. That will not do very well when you start playing it, because by the time you get the chance to play your 7 drops, you'll probably be dead, because someone else actually has a 1-mana creature or a 2-mana creature and plays on curve with his mana base. So.
I think it's real important to understand it, besides just for the limited format, but for just standard or anything else. When you get into Magic in your first few months, from my experience, you start reading all these cards, you love the bombs, and you want to play the bombs, and so you're playing 10 of these 5 and 6 drop creatures or whatever the hell, or spells or whatever, because you're real excited to use them, but you don't understand yet that you need to have 8-1 drops and 6-2 drops or whatever else to, so that you actually can get to that point. You're never going
to
get there.
You need
if you don't have any plays.
Die.
Yeah, you got to have something. So,
have some fillers.
But it's just one of those things when you start off, you don't want to play that stupid 1-1. You want to play that 1-drop, 2-1, whatever the hell. You're like, yeah, whatever. What is that going to do?
Or
it does everything.
When you're new, you're just like, yeah, I'm just going to play my bombs, and then my bombs are going to take over. And you don't realize the power of going, you know, okay, 2-drop, 3-drop, 4-drop, 5-drop. And then there's like, okay, well, I'll play my one bomb, and I might be able to take one of your guys out. But, you know, if you have a properly built curve, whether it's on the higher end, you know, your curve can kind of start at 2, go 3, 4, or it can start at 1 or 3 or whatever. But as long as you have a curve where you can at least interact with your opponents some way in the early game, you can get to your bombs and you can start doing that stuff. That's why, like, having a proper curve and, like, having the proper amount of 2-drops, 3-drops, 4-drops to be able to play
on counter magic. You know, the way that that control deck plays essentially only bombs for their permanence, but it gets around all the little shit by playing counter magic and kill spells and all that other shit. So that's the way that they have to have the curve. They still have to play shit at 2 and 3 mana all day long, but then they're going to finally get to their 6 and drop it safely.
Yeah.
And the other way to do it is just play your 2 and 3 drop creatures that can protect or, you know, yourself until you get to it. There's different ways around it, but they're essentially the same thing. Even though they're not permanents on the board, it's still a curve.
Yeah.
I think the aggro in this sense means keeping pressure, and that means playing something each turn. Because you might not think about it, but 2-1 on turn 1, on turn 2, it's going to hit for 2, turn 3, another. So, like, by the time they get their bomb out, your one drop has already done like 6 to 8 damage.
Yeah.
And that's pretty significant for, you know, oh, just a one drop, like a measly little 2-1.
Your one drop could be more efficient than their 6-drop that does something when it comes on the board. Absolutely. Because it could just die right away.
By that time, you might have to just like hold it back to block.
Yeah.
You know, you could bring out your 5-6 flyer, and then you're like, well, fuck, if I do this, I'll
I'm
tap
at 2
out.
Life,
and I'm
a 2-1 flyer, I have to block with it now.
Exactly. So that bomb is not doing it. It's protecting you in one way, but that's not the way to win a game.
Yeah. So essentially, the A in the bread acronym is just have a good aggro and curve strategy where you want a lot of creatures and spells that you can play on the turn that you have the mana. So you always want to have something you can play in your first turn, second turn, third turn, fourth turn, all the way to, you know, X turn.
Yeah.
And I mean, sometimes you may not even get all that mana. So a lot of times, like, I personally, when I draft, I like to keep my curve around like 2, 3 drops, 4 drops for this format at the most. Like, I'll have maybe my 1 or 2 bombs at a 5 and 6 slot drop
this
slot.
This format's very fast, so you have to
because
have
this format is really fast. So I like to play like a really low converted mana cost kind of game plan where I'm playing a lot of 2 or 3 mana creatures as opposed to just, you know, paying 1 or 2 and then hopefully waiting for that 6 mana to be able to play my Elspeth or whatever, you know, that bomb that I happen to get. But I mean, that also helps to have that bomb to finish the game, because maybe your little 1-1s or 2-1s aren't enough to get through fast enough, and then you kind of get stalemated and you don't have a bomb, then you're in trouble.
Yeah, if you don't have a bomb, you're playing all these little things, and then they drop a couple big things, and now all your little things can't do anything.
Yeah.
So
it's definitely a balancing act, and you'll learn as more you play the draft and how the format is of that draft. You'll kind of learn to adapt and how to spot good cards when you need it when you're drafting it.
Yeah.
So what is the final letter? The lowest rung, but nonetheless, it is a rung on the ladder.
This one is going to be about 75% of your deck.
So we have the D of bread. The D in this case stand for the dregs, the unwanted, the trash cards, the unpickables, the unplayables.
The 15 pick, you know, your 15 pick or your first pack.
Charging batter.
That's it.
It's
charging
all
batter.
The C.
Batter?
Yeah,
batter.
Charging batters.
Badger. God damn it.
Charging batters delicious.
The charging batters. You got me saying it. The charging badgers.
So it's all the C-minus cards.
Yeah,
the cards that you get, like 10th, 12th, you know, the higher picks. But they're going to fill out your curve. They're going to at least apply some pressure.
Or
they're going to interact at some point with your opponent.
Or the worst of it could be in your sideboard.
It's the 3-2 for 3. That's what it is. It's going to do something, but do you really care?
But yeah,
you do, though. You do. You have to.
Yeah.
They do play an important part, and that part is trash can filler.
Or just like bears. Just a 2-2 for 2.
Yeah. Bears.
But I would say a bear is probably in the aggro, though, because it's still a good... I mean, I would play 2-2, 2-for-2s all day.
But nobody's, like,
I think
second pick, like, oh, dude, that bear. I mean, obviously, depending on how fast the format
if you're
is.
An aggro, if you're going for an aggro-type strategy, that's your bread and butter right there.
But for the most part, like, the zombie, the one that was in M15 but not... it was in the spoiler. Anyways, it's just a 2-2 for 2 in black. So, like, you know, you need something in early drops in black, but you're not excited. And no one else, if no one gives a fuck about it. It's not like they're going to hate draft it. They're like, oh, I'm taking that motherfucker's 2-2.
This is like pick 10 through 15.
Exactly.
Yeah, so these are the ones, like, maybe they're not even in your color. It's just like a, you know, a font of fertility or something like that. And you're not even in green. You're just, okay, well, this is all I can pick, so I'm just going
to pick this next trash. Like, especially when you get to the dregs and stuff like that, the last couple picks, like, it's very important. Even if it's not in your color, you always take the most powerful card. Yeah,
even if it's a black card and you're playing all white, you know, you always take...
If you look at, like, in context with the rest of the cards, it's not powerful at all. Like, it's there's no power in it. But when you're looking at, like, those last six cards and you're like, okay, I can pick, like, a card that I can probably play, maybe... Or I can pick, like, a card that somebody's going to really want.
That you would hate playing against.
That I hate playing against. You take that. You know, there's little things
it's like if you draft an enchantment deck, and there's, like, Destructive Revelry, which always get, like, or, you know, whatever enchantment hate that always goes last. Like, you know, you'll want to pick that because that's going to fuck your deck over.
Yeah.
Not so much – it'll be a dreg for somebody else, but you're going to, you know, take it away from
Or it'll be the appropriate time to pick up your enchantment hate, you know.
Right. Well,
pick 10 through 15, they're always going to be around then. You can pick it up then.
Yeah.
So.
Some of those creatures are like sacrifice, destroy artifacts, sacrifice, destroy enchantment. You know, like, that's not going to be a big pick, but it's still going to do something.
It's kind of like that that 2-1 in green that you can sack it and produce red mana. So, like, if...
Satyr Hedonist.
If you're green-blue, let's say, and you're just, like, light on two drops, you'll pick that guy up. Like, he's...
You can possibly play him if you're light on two drops,
too. Yeah, he is a 2-1, and you're just... You need something in that spot. You don't give a shit about the text on the card. You just care that he's a body on
turn
two.
In that case, you can still probably use it, because if you had a 4-mana spell, and it was, like, 1 blue and 3 colorless, I mean, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, get to that point.
Yeah, well, but for the most part, it's just...
You probably won't use it, but I mean...
For the most part, it's just filling in the leftovers,
pretty much. But I do like what Aquickness said, that definitely pick up... When you're at that point where you don't really have a pick that you want out of it, definitely pick the highest power level card of that bunch, because someone at the table might have been hoping that it flies under the radar around the table and ends up coming back into their hand.
Call in drafting called wheeling.
They call it, wheeling, where it ends up going all the way around the table and back to you, even though you wanted it, but you just couldn't pick it at that point of time.
Because there was a better card to get.
Yeah, because you wanted a different card. But, yeah, that's definitely a really good point in drafting.
And, like, when always you get down to, like, these last two ones, like the aggro curve and the dreg snap stuff, you always want to, like, apply the ones before it. So, like, the evasion, removal, and bombs and stuff like that. You kind of, like, apply it in a small-scale version when you get down to the dregs. Because, like, we were going for the most powerful one, but you can have two that are kind of equal power levels. So now you're like, okay, is it removal or no? Okay, so it's not removal, but it's got evasion now. So now I can be like, okay, well, these are crappy cards, but this is the most powerful one because, A, it's got some sort of evasion attacked onto it, whereas this one doesn't. And, you know, okay, well, you know, just different strategies like that. You always want to, like, go through bread every time you're looking at a card. You're going to try to pick it.
Yeah, just run down the steps.
Just run down the steps. Just run through them all the time.
Not too fast, though. You don't trip.
Oh, yeah, no. Don't run the scissors either.
You don't run the bread.
Go down the hall.
You don't run the bread.
Yeah, you'll smash the bread.
Run from there.
No one likes smashed bread.
But there is a reason this is important because there are 10 commons in your pack. You know, so this is an important step. It's the lowest of the step, but like I said earlier, it's definitely important because it does make up a lot of your deck, and it is going to be a lot of what you're drafting.
It is good to know the commons, too.
Yes.
You know, where people don't do a lot of research on the little stuff, whatever. And if you're playing in mostly constructed standard formats, you don't really have to care. But you're probably going to get into draft eventually, and it's good to do a little bit of research on the common bombs, you know what I mean? Because that's what you're, like you just guys just said, is what you're drafting.
Like, your whole deck's commons, pretty much. Commons and uncommons, you're going to have a couple of rares and maybe a mythic in there. So it's really good to know the commons. But, like, you know, like with the bombs and stuff, bombs are just natural. They come, you know, it's a bomb or it's not. But, like, when it comes down to these commons and uncommons, when you're applying these techniques to them, it can get kind of a little hazy, and that's why this is there, is because you can follow something that's kind of structured. It's not like an end-all, be-all thing. Like, you don't have to take a bomb over a removal spell. You can pick a removal spell, like, over a bomb just because it's that good.
And don't get confused with a bomb. Like, a rare is always a bomb, because a rare, I mean, there are common bombs. Like, a Nespian Asp is a common green card, and it is a bomb. It is a great bomb. So don't think that, oh, it's because it's mythic or if it's rare, that it's necessarily going to be a bomb. It might be a decent card, but it may not be an actual bomb.
When you're comparing these kinds of cards, like, rarity should be your last thing to hit. Like, when you're trying to pro and con it and see which one you want, like, rarity doesn't really mean much. Like, it's all about the card's power level. So, like, the Nessie Nasp, you know.
Yeah.
You could have that, or you could have, like, the
Great Merchant.
Or Great Merchant, you know. Or you could have, like, the Centaur Lord. You know, that's a rare. And people be like, oh, it's a rare, it's a bomb, you know, centaurs, there's centaurs in this one. Or you could have, like, a Grey Merchant and Nessie Nasp along in that pack as well. And you take the Centaur Lord, well, you just missed out on two bombs when this Centaur Lord isn't really a bomb, but you went based off of rarity level.
Yeah.
So you got it. That's a trap a lot of people fall in, especially newer drafters.
Yep.
Because they're like, oh, it's the rare, I always want the rare, and I always want the uncommons, and I'll go down from there. That's a completely wrong way to do it. You'll not have a good time.
Yeah, wouldn't you want to have something like a two-power creature with, like, some kind of evasion or reach or whatever else over, like, some 5/5 do-nothing on the ground? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of those rares are. They have something that you may be able to activate or this and that, but they don't have, like, the proper evasion or whatever else. Like, the Hydras are a good example, where, like, sometimes you can get away with them and they're, like, they could possibly win you the game. But a lot of those Hydras, like, don't have trample and shit. They're going to grow and grow and grow, but they can get fucking chumped. They can just be whatever. I mean, it might be worth picking, but it's not just like an end all be all just because it's a big old power or whatever.
Yeah.
You could possibly lose to someone with their flyer gets to 3 power and then just
attacks the shit out of you. I'm sure, like, maybe in the next couple episodes we'll have a new knowledge about, like, applying bread into archetypes, because, you know, you could have a bomb in a color and you're like, I'm in that color. But you're not in that archetype, so it's not really a bomb for you. So the power level and the card evaluation can vary drastically based on what archetype you're trying to go into. And then we'll talk about it later, I'm sure, like, leaving yourself open and signals, stuff like we all want to go through.
There's a ton to talk about a limited.
We'll talk about this, but the bread is like...
This was a good, like...
A little primer.
It's a good foundation. If you're just new, you know, you can go and do bread to every card, and you can end up with a deck that could win you games. You know, at least that you can win games. It might not win you the whole draft, but you'll be competitive still.
Well, of course, we cannot forget the sixth step, which is question marks. And the seventh step, which is profit.
Yeah. So I guess let's go to our last. Let's go to our last little thing before we wrap up here.
Don't be a dick, Chase.
Yeah. How not to be a dick.
Perfect example.
Perfect classic example. So this week, this is a thing that I've actually. The more I grow up, the more I think about this, and I still kind of – I do it from time to time, sometimes on accident, and sometimes, you know, I don't think it's going to affect people, but it does. It's, you know, like when – realize, like, your audience or, like, realize who you're around when you're talking. So, like – I'm, like, a loud and obnoxious the Sarlacc pit vagina.
I just noticed that.
Oh, yeah, when I drew the dick going into a Star Wars the pit.
Sarlacc pit.
Yeah.
So it's crazy vagina. So, like, I'm, like, a loud and obnoxious person. And when I was younger, I didn't really, like, think about how people would take it because, you know, I know, like, I have good intentions and I know that I'm, like, you know, a nice person.
You mean well.
Yeah, I mean well. And, you know, some people, it doesn't come off like that. It comes off like I'm just trying to be an asshole, you know, or, like, make fun of, you know, get laughs at other people's expense. Like, even, like, Peppermint Swirl, like, he, like, hated me when we first started hanging out because we were playing, like, the original Halo, and I was just, like, talking shit the whole time. And he's like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, because we're at his neighbor's house. Anyways, So, like, in regards to, like, gaming or, like, Magic, like, you know, we started this podcast because we want to put out content that we would like to hear. You know, like, if you're not hearing what you want to hear, say what you want to hear. You know, so we're putting out a show that's, like, stuff that we would be willing to listen to. So it's, you know, very funny, very inappropriate, but hopefully it is informative.
Is that why we start? I just wanted to hear my own voice.
Have we
been recording this whole time?
Yeah. I thought I was talking to myself.
I want to make terrible jokes. And I want people to, a bigger audience than you guys. That's it.
So, like, when we, you know, have our little bloopers section when we're talking about, like, horrible things like rape and
awful things.
Yeah.
Awful things that should never be said.
Like, you know, we hope you know that, you know, we don't mean to offend anybody, and in the certain context, you know, horrible things like that can be funny. Especially like with the four of us, we've known each other for so long that we know what our boundaries are, and since we're so close, like, we don't have a lot of boundaries with one another. So we can say horrible things, and it's kind of like they're funny because they're so horrible, you know, like, kind of, not really like for shock value, but, you know, it has to be appropriate. You just can't like yell out rape, you know,
fire in a movie theater.
fire. You just die. In the corner.
Yeah.
Fucked up.
It's kind of like that. A lot of comedians say you can't make fun of everything, you can't make fun of anything.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's more about, like, comedic value. We're not, you know, seriously, we don't seriously mean these things. You right. know,
dude,
it's not,
everyone's gone through tragedy.
Yeah.
Everyone, like, the world is, like, in such a fucked up place in so many ways. You know what I mean? There's just bad, like, don't even fucking watch the news ever. The shit
yeah. I never watch the news.
It's ridiculous.
I get depressed
and
when I watch
I understand,
news.
Like, a lot of it's real, and there's just bad things, and living here in San Diego, we're living in this, like, top 1% of the world type shit. You know what I mean? I feel like.
It's not hard to think of a bad situation and just have it seen on TV. You know, you don't need the news to know kind of what's
yeah.
going on in the
but
world. You can kind of see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But it's okay to just be lighthearted about things,
yeah.
you know, around what you said, around the right audience. You don't want to make some dead baby jokes to some people that just lost their fucking baby. You
yeah.
know? Like,
yeah.
That's some crazy shit.
You want to show a little bit of tact around other people you don't know.
Like, you know, for instance, I'll tell you one of my favorite stories about me is we all went out to dinner for Peppermint Swirl's girlfriend's birthday, and we were going to go.
Great story.
She invited her work friends, and, like, we hadn't really met them, and, like, we knew they weren't complete stiffs, but, like, we kind of wanted to, you know, tone down our usual sense of humor and everything. Well, not us. I'm more saying
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
In my head, I was like, okay, watch what you say. Shut up. You know, don't
yeah.
say anything horrible. Because I get all excited and think of something funny, and I just blurt it out. So, you know, we were finishing up dinner at this, like, nice restaurant. We all dressed nice and everything. And, you know, we started joking around about, you know, whatever the subject was. And it kind of, like,
meandered.
Yeah. Meandered into the topic of, like, STDs. And we were kind of, like, joking about, like, I forget what it was, like, crabs or something. And then we start talking about, like, you know, herpes or whatever. And then I was about to be like, hey, what's the big deal? Like, doesn't AIDS get love anymore? Like, don't forget about AIDS. Like, that's the best one, you know? But, like, I just didn't want to, like, you know, shock them with AIDS. And, like, even Peppermint Swirl could, like, tell. Like,
oh,
I was visibly, like, holding myself back. Like, I was like, and then, no. And so, like, later on in the night, me and Peppermint Swirl, we went to the casino later. So I was, like, telling them, like, yeah, I almost made, like, this, you know, bad AIDS joke. But I didn't really, you know, I didn't know the people too well, so I didn't feel comfortable doing it. And he's like, dude, thank God you didn't, because, like, some terrible situation had happened with the guy's, like, brother or sister, and they, like, died from AIDS or something. Or I don't know if died, but, like, so it would have been, like, unbeknownst to me, like, without my knowledge of the situation, I would have just, like, made a huge faux pas and could have, like, totally offended this guy. And, like, you know, who knows how he would have reacted to me making, like, this, oh, I think I'm making a funny AIDS joke, you know. And so you have to be aware of your surroundings and your audience. And, you know, we do have the, like, warning explicit language on our podcast because we do like to joke around about fucked up stuff sometimes. Like George Carlin says, he's like, you know, rape's funny. You just have to have the right context. Oh, you don't think rape's funny? Okay, picture Elmer Fudd raping Porky Pig. Like, that's funny, you know? Like, if you think about, like, the physical, like, picture them in your head. So you can't just, like, make a just any old rape joke, you know? But we don't mean to, like, offend anybody, but we're not really going to change our style of humor.
Yeah, we won't go out of our way to tone it down.
Yeah.
There's worse shit than us, my God.
Yeah.
On fucking TV, just, like, right now.
But don't be a dick about it.
Yeah, damn Adult Swim right now and then go ahead and fucking come back to us.
So just think about, like, when you're out.
Like F&M.
At a game store, you know, there's going to be little kids around or, you know, people who you don't know if they share the same sense of humor as you.
There was that one PTQ we went to, and one of my opponents was like a 50 or 60-year-old dad, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure he would have been old enough and, you know, understood, like, what I was trying to do if I were to bring up that kind of humor when we're talking. But it's not something like you bring up to like a 60-year-old guy like when you just first meet him, you're like, oh yeah, yeah. Oh, I got this rape joke for you.
By the way.
You don't do that.
So yeah. Have you heard any good rape jokes lately?
But if they do it, by all means, like open the floodgates and just go crazy. But you know, you just gotta be careful about that type of stuff.
Yeah, and like for me personally, I think the more like in poor taste something is, like the funnier it is in the right situation. You know, like I can't be at like ground zero and be making 9/11 jokes, you know, but I forget. Totally forgot where I was going. But anyways, you know, just be mindful of that, especially like on back to last week's How Not to Be a Dick. You know, like on the internet too, just, you know, it comes down to just basic respect for other people. And granted, you might not even consciously think that you're being offensive or doing anything wrong because your intentions are pure or you just don't stop to think about it. You know, but just take that time to kind of put yourself in check before you start spouting off about stuff that you think is funny or even like this applies to like raging, you know, when you're playing, you know, you get all upset and like, dude, take in your surroundings. Like you're playing a game that's supposed to be fun. Like if you're taking it that seriously, like maybe you're the dick, you know, like you probably are the dick, but,
yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt.
So anyways, that was just something off the top of my head.
Well, it's just like one of those things, like, it's weird to, like, say you never ever thought because you're, you know, you're brought up in school and, like, through your life as a kid, like, oh, the golden rule, treat others as you would treat yourself. Like, nowadays, I mean, you can't really do that because, like, with us, we're okay with all these jokes. And, right. Like, if somebody, like, told me a rape joke, like, oh, I ripped your sister, I'd be like, ha, 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 no, you didn't, fucker. Or something like that, you know what I mean? Just to mention back, like, all these days, like, something you may feel that's okay for you might not be okay with somebody else. So it kind of sucks to say that the golden rule can't really apply anymore because it is a good rule to have. Because you don't want to treat somebody that you wouldn't treat yourself. But, you know, when it comes down to these types of things, you know, things that aren't, like, really serious situations, you're not, like, really harming somebody. Like, just take a step back and realize, oh, well, he's not like me, so he might not enjoy that. So just be careful.
Yeah, when I was younger, I thought everybody thought how, like, I thought. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I thought everyone was kind of, like, wired the same way, you know? And, like, I didn't – obviously, when you're a kid, you're kind of naive to ideas like that. But it wasn't until later when, you know, some people just didn't like me because I was kind of a dick, you know? And then I was like – it made me stop and think about it. And the whole reason I kind of brought up this topic is because I actually had dinner with our neighbors across the street. And, like, I've talked to them before. But they, like, invite us in their house and they have a kid and everything and, like, our dogs, like, play and stuff. So I was, like, trying to be on my best behavior. Like, still being, like, funny and, like, nice and stuff.
Still be somewhere yourself.
Yeah, but I had to definitely – because you have to feel people out. Yeah. You have to kind of see like where they lie on certain topics or if they even get your sense of humor because I may say something sarcastically and they may think I'm like serious or like vice versa. And it's just like this and then it just gets real fucking awkward, you know? So that's actually why I thought about it. But it's so, like I said, it's something that's been there like in my whole life. So, you know, thanks for listening in. You know, I thought we'd kind of put some seriousness in the middle of all this funny shit we do. So this has been episode 10. You know, we'd really like some feedback on, you know, if you like what we're doing or not. Or if you want to hear certain things, or if you don't want to hear certain things, or...
If you have a topic you want us to discuss, you know, we can look up the topic, do some research, yeah, and then, you know, we can get back to you, or, you know, we can even have some of the questions you ask us. Maybe we can do, like, a little segment, and if enough people ask us questions, you know, we can have, like, a mailbag type deal. You know, people ask us things, and we can go over it in some length.
Yeah, so hit us up, interact.
Yeah, always aware. We've got it on Twitter, Facebook.
We'll sign you a
YouTube.
We'll send you a signed eye gouge in the mail.
Exactly.
To the first person who, you know. We still didn't get a poop joke, dude. I'm kind of feeling shitty about
it. Kind of butthurt.
And that's been it for episode 10. I'm Knife City.
I'm a quickness.
This is Reich.
I'm out of here. I'm not part of this anymore.
Hot sauce is no longer here. It's now hot soup.
And that's been episode 10. Peace.
Later.
A lot of shaft
hair. That's veins, bro. Oh. Veins. That's a lot of
shaft hair, dude. That's a lot of shaft hair, dude.
It shouldn't be a shaft hair, bro. Oh,
it's quite the fur coat you got there.
Can you imagine that? Imagine shaving down your dick. You gotta go against the grain. You know, like, yeah, that's a little too much. That's terrible. It's terrible. Team wolfing it up over here, bro.
He's starting to. Like, I can understand, like, one vein, but you start, like, going all crazy. I'm like, is that fucking shaft hair? Like, you're growing it from the bottom up? Like, what's.
I just dropped dicks on our show.
So, anyways,
about that.
Conspiracy.
That visual. Conspiracy.